But there's a lot of those people are unaware. There's people that are unaware that they're like, I'm the worst and I'm making this shitty and I don't want to be that guy. So I'd rather be hyper aware, which then becomes annoying.
Hyper aware to not be that guy.
And then it feels like you're almost in control of what's annoying.
What do you mean?
You leave and then people are like, boy, he kept asking if we were mad. What a fucking annoying guy. To be like, are we mad at him? But at least I'm like, all right, that's what they're talking about. I'm a nerdy motherfucker and you want to be me.
Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. This is Ari Shaffir. Let's go. Let's do it. We're doing this time. We're doing this time. Come on. It's 2 a.m. We're going to make it happen. On today's episode, Joe List returns. It's his first time back since he was on, I think, the summer before last. Sometime around there. It was definitely warm. We did it in Central Park. It was called The Herp. He was talking about all about his herpes. Joe has herpes. If you don't know Joe List, he does a podcast with Mark Norman called Tuesdays with Story. Possibly also Tuesdays with Stories. Think it's the second. Also known as the latter. I've been on there twice. Once real and once a live one. Or a group one. Joe List is an underrated comic in New York. He's really, really fun. I asked him once. I like to tell this story. I might have told it the last time he was on. But when I first met him, I was... I think guest hosting, you know what, dude, podcast, Robert Kelly's podcast. I might have just been on there, but it was one of the first times I met him, and I just asked him. I was like, "So what's the deal, man?" He's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Well, I keep hearing about you. Everybody here was right when I moved to New York. It's like everybody here tells me how great you are. I hadn't seen him on stage yet, but I was like, everyone here tells me how great you are. Like pretty much universally around New York. Could it be universally if it's a city?" People tell me how awesome you are. But I've done comedy in LA and I've not heard of you. And he was like, so what do you want to know? Like, why? And I was like, yeah, why have I never heard of you when everybody here says how great you are? And he just goes real simple. He just goes, booze. And he goes, but I quit a couple years ago. So now I'm back on track. He's hilarious, you guys. And today, well, something I've always known about Joe List, he's kind of self-loathing. Every time you see him finish a Facebook post or a tweet, if he has to promote, he's always like, I hate myself. I love you. He always saying he hates himself. He's very insecure about certain things. He admits a little bit of it in the podcast. Kind of fun, actually. We talked a little about that, about self-loathing, and then... Eventually, I started to realize that maybe I have a little bit of that self-doubt as well. Joe, I have something in my throat. If you can hear, like, there's something in there. Maybe it's cancer. So we talked. He invited me over to his apartment. We talked for a while. You know what? Let me tell you this, actually. Now that we're talking about self-loathing and sort of a self-hatred... Yom Kippur is today. If you guys don't know what Yom Kippur is, it's the Jewish Day of Atonement. So what we have is 10 days of atonement, Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Starts with Rosh Hashanah, starts with the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and goes till the end of Yom Kippur. And on Rosh Hashanah, the books are open, the book of judgment by God, and on Yom Kippur, the book is closed, and he's going to judge you, and you're going to have to sit and deal with that judgment for the rest of the year. He's decided your fate. So I guess you have these 10 days to change his mind. It's kind of like a longer version of Santa Claus, knowing when you're sleeping, knowing when you're awake, knowing when you've been good or bad. So be good, for heaven's sake. Is that right? Did I get that? So one of the things we do is to cast off our sins. I'm just remembering this. A lot of it's just like you apologize to people. You do a bunch of apology and stuff and call people up and say, hey, I'm sorry. Oh, we just do a real blanket statement. You just call everybody. In high school, we called everybody you know. Like one at a time, you call Avi Schneider. Like, hey, I'm sorry for everything I've done to you. And they're like, cool, I'm sorry for everything I've done to you. Do you forgive me? Like, yeah. You forgive me? Yeah. And then, cool, you're forgiven. Move on to the next person. Simi. Hey, I'm sorry for everything I've done to you. Are you sorry for everything I've done to me? Yeah, yeah. Forgive. Okay, bye. And you just keep doing that. Yaki. Yaakov. Shmuley. All you guys. Moshe, Chaim, sorry for everything I've done to you. Sorry for everything I've done to me? Yes. Okay, so then there's sins that you can't ask forgiveness for, like gossip. Maybe you can, actually, if you ask from the guy you gossiped about. Bad example. Turning on a light on Shabbat. Eating non-kosher by accident. Eating not kosher on purpose. These are things you can't really apologize for. There's no one to apologize for. You just broke a sin. Forgetting a prayer. You got to pray three times a day. Let's see, you only did it two. Well, you're an evil person. So you got to get rid of your sins. So how do you get rid of your sins? Well, you transpose them. This is so stupid. I come from such a barbaric religion. The problem is Judaism stuck half in the past and half in the present. Okay, so you take your sins and you transpose them onto a live chicken. You put them on a live chicken. You say a prayer like, hey, chicken, sorry about this, but you're getting all my sins. And then I don't know why, but the chicken, so he has these sins on him, and so it's not enough that he has sins, but then you have to take him by the feet. You have to take a live chicken by the feet. It might be a rooster, doesn't matter. It might be a rooster. It doesn't matter, though. You take him by the feet. You swing him over your head in a circular motion. Remember when you were real little, those planes that were on the end of a rope, and you just swing it around and around? Just swing it around, and this plane would like go around you like 5-6 feet away from you, and it would just make it look like the plane was flying. And then obviously you'd smash your brother in the face. Brother, I'm sorry for everything I've done to you. Would you forgive me for everything I've done to you? So you take this chicken by the feet and it's squawking. And you're going to swing it around. Why? I mean, what world? I mean, how long ago would this have to have made sense? And then you swing it around your head. You say this prayer as you swing it around your head. I think it's 7 times. And then, and this, by the way, brought to you by a religion that forces you to cut the throat in between like two different vertebrae, I don't know, something in your throat, in a perfectly clean, razor-sharp knife so that it kills the animal, the chicken or the cow, whatever you're killing, whatever's kosher that you're killing, you kill it as quickly and as cleanly as possible so it suffers as little as possible. The religion that brought you that is also brought you swinging the sin chicken over your head in a circular motion 7 times. And then wait. And then at the end of the 7 times, you snap its neck and you kill it. Why? Why do you have to kill it? Can't it just be a sin chicken? Why do you have to kill it? Can you just set it free? I mean, I guess you can't eat it. I guess you can't eat sin. You'll be taking it back. Yeah, that makes sense. You can't give it to poor non-Jews? You could have given it to poor non-Jews. I mean, I guess you can't feed it to like... Can you feed it to like a lion or something? I guess a lion would have sin. But then the lion would die. Nobody eats lion. Oh, I want to eat some lion. Oh. Well, I can't wait till this, after this special's done, you guys. After this special's done, I'm going to do a whole special about Judaism. This special is tormenting me. It is torturing me. I've never gone through this much to do a special. I've never been this focused. Come see it being recorded in Austin, Texas, November 2nd through the 5th. Cap City Comedy Club. Tickets are at arithegreat.com right now. Thank you, Itamaros Peleg, for making me one Photoshop. If anybody else wants to make me a Photoshop, guess what? New pay structure, $15 for any Photoshop I use on the website or on Twitter. I mean, not Twitter, Instagram. That's what a Comedy Store spot pays. I know you might be worth more, but I'm paying the comedians $100, and you're not. I mean, it's not worth 15% of what the comedians make. Joe List sat there with me for 2 hours. You're working on this for 10 to minutes to even 30 minutes. No, I don't need it. $15. It's more than fair in my book. And if it's not enough for you, That's totally cool. You don't have to do it. Oh, my God. Why would they kill? Anyway, I'll also be running it at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York, October 18th. If you want to come, the special is called... Childhood and Adulthood. Let's call it that for now. It might be childhood and adult stuff, childhood and grown-up stuff. But let's call it... It's not kids and adult. Kids and adult stuff. Kids and adulthood. Childhood and adulthood. I think that's what I'm going to go with. A double special. You'll see when it comes out. That's it. And this is not happening. Premieres this Thursday, you guys. This Thursday night. Thursday night, 11:59 p.m. on the East Coast, 11 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Mountain, I don't know, 9 or midnight. I don't know how that works on the West Coast. And then Hawaii, whatever, you guys. Come on, deal with it. You know. Joe List tells a story that is now available on YouTube. I'm going to put it out as the story is available on the topic of this week's episode. So every week is a different topic. This week is scumbags, I believe it is. 10 weeks, 10 episodes. I think it's over 11 weeks. I think there's one repeat week in there because, I don't know, something at midnight's off or something. But we're on After At Midnight every week this year. And At Midnight moved up to 11:30. I don't know why. So check out Joe List. If you want to see all these, I guess there's 100 stories now. There's 100 stories on the This Is Not Happening playlist on YouTube. If you live in Canada or Australia or New Zealand, you guys are geo-blocked. I will continue to work on getting it un-geo-blocked. I'm very frustrated. It's probably the most frustrating thing about this whole show, that somehow three seasons in, if you count the YouTube seasons, they suddenly blocked them. So last year and then this year, you guys can't watch them. Get this app called BetterNet, BetterNet. It lets you watch any geo-blocked YouTube video on your phone or your computer. I don't know if it works on Samsung phones. But anyway, get that, and that'll let you watch it. And so watch Joe List's story. It's a fucking a degenerate story. Go to YouTube, into the search engine, This Is Not Happening playlist. They'll all be up there. You can see them all. 70 great stories, 20 good ones, and 10 awful ones, but whatever. Mostly really great stories. Oh, so that's it, you guys. Those are my last two tour dates. October 18th at the Bell House in Brooklyn. And November 2nd through the 5th in Austin, Texas. The End of the Road Tour is coming to a close. If you want those t-shirts, End of the Road Tour t-shirts, get them at arithegreat.com. That's it, you guys. Make sure to tell your friends about this. I'm going to break a record. Last month, we broke a record for most downloads. I want to get to I don't want to say the number until I get there, but I think this month might do it. So tell your friends. You can download this at arithegreat.com. You can go on iTunes, or you can go on Laughable, the Laughable app. It's a great app. They're updating it. I've talked to the people who run it. They're updating it with people's tour dates. So if you sign up for where you live, let's say you live in Indianapolis, if you've listened to a podcast and somebody's on that podcast that's going to be touring Crackers, let's say, it's going to warn you. It's going to say, hey, let's say this podcast, it's going to say, hey, Joe List is coming to Crackers. Oh man, it's a good app. You guys should get it. It's far superior than the iPhone app. Ever since Steve Jobs died, That thing has gone downhill. Man, that guy who runs Apple now, he's got to take one of his fucking nerd employees and wave him over his head 7 times and fucking snap his neck. Why do they have to kill it? I don't understand why they have to kill it. Happy Yom Kippur, everybody. Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say hello. Happy Yom Kippur from Ari Shaffir and everyone here at the Skeptic Tech Industries. This is episode 280. I Hate Myself with Joe List. Starts now.
I want you to notice when I'm not around. You're so very special. I wish I was special. But I'm a creep. I'm a winner. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. Oh,
oh. You see Broadway shit a lot?
Are we recording? I don't want to admit if I see Broadway.
You're like, you have to give me warning before you just start.
Is that chair comfy? You all right?
Yeah, it's good.
Need a pillow or anything?
No, I'm just remembering, like, I'm remembering the cigar, and it's getting me in a nauseous mood.
Yeah, me too. I just took Tylenol. I took a Vicodin, and then I took 2 Tylenol the next day, and then 2 more the next day. I haven't been fucked up like that in years.
I mean, honestly, the subway home, once I got on there, I felt like, you ever, like, read too much? On a subway or be
no.
Drunk? Remember when you were drunk? Oh, yeah.
No, I have, yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was horrible. But it's,
They should have better ventilation, that's the deal?
Yeah, because, well, first of all, it was prime time. Why do I keep saying prime time? What do you call that? Rush hour?
I think rush hour. Is there that for a cigar bar?
I think like...
Busy period?
Yeah. Peak hours. Maybe we're there at peak hours. That sounds right.
Okay, that sounds, yeah.
But if... Great. I've smoked outside, like at Bobby Kelly's barbecue. I smoked 2 big, heavy cigars back to back. I had a buzz, but I felt like a normal human being. It's the secondhand smoke because you're not breathing any fresh air for like 2 hours.
Yeah, even going to the bathroom there was like, oh, good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you stick your head in the toilet and flush a couple times. And
did you ever hear that's what, who's the guy from Animal House, his brother?
John Belushi?
Yeah.
Jim Belushi.
Yeah, Jim Belushi. I heard he was like... You are good at that. That was quick. Said he was like smoking in a bathroom on a plane and flushing the toilet over and over again and breathing it out into the toilet.
Weird.
Yeah. It's on some interview. I think it might have been a Stern. And then they were like, was that like when you were coming up? He goes, oh, no, I was famous at this point. He goes, I just needed a cigarette so bad.
Wow. That's crazy. I think Stanhope had a great bit about, you know that bit about
cigars?
No, cigarette smoking on the airplane. They still come on and announce, like, there's no smoking. He's like, I can't remember the whole bit, but it was like, yeah, we haven't been allowed to smoke in 50 years. It's like the equivalent of coming on and being like, and black people, you're welcome to sit on the airplane. You can be wherever you want. And it's like that. But there's still, I counted the other day, there's like 25 announcements about smoking, including like photos and like little... fucking what do you call it, like cigarette markers with the lines through it, like there's 2 in the bathroom, there's 1 at each seat, there's 1 like outside the bathroom, and then they make 3 announcements. It's so bananas. Like, who is trying to smoke on these airplanes?
In other countries we're smoking. I've flown in a lot of countries and I don't remember smoking at all.
No, you've never been able to smoke in my lifetime. I mean, I flew in 91. I don't think you could fly.
I remember
smoke.
Smoking
really.
I remember going to Israel and there was a smoking section.
Well, there were animals.
Curtain.
Jeez, I was hoping for a smile.
And then I remember them going, no more on domestic flights, but yes on international flights.
Really?
Because you can't be expected to go more than 6 hours without smoking.
Right.
They're like, but up to 5, like, you could handle that.
Wow.
But they don't even have smoking lounges in airports anymore.
Some do. Atlanta does, I think.
I bet North Carolina has them.
Yeah, like those, that fucking tobacco belt there. Yeah. But, I think, have we talked about this? Joe Mackey has this point. They should make airports much more encouraging for people that are going to be there for hours. There should be internet access. There should be like a gym. There should be like a little exercise bikes.
Especially when they tell you have to get the 2 hours in advance, which is like, first of all, shut the fuck up.
Right.
And they're like, for international, we suggest 3 hours. I'm like, what are you talking? You want to give?
It's insane. I've done that with international, and then you're like, it's the same exact process.
Hour seven for international.
It's
hour seven, just to be safe.
It's really goofy.
It's the same process.
But here's my thing. I get so anxious when it's time to fly, not from flying itself, just from the travel and missing flights, that I'm sitting at home trying to save. I'm like, I'll wait here. But then I'm not enjoying myself because I know I have to go. So I'm like, well, I might as well just go now live my life at the airport.
Yeah, you live so close to the airport, too.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I do that, too, where it's like, let me check the internet 3 more times. But I can just do that when I'm there.
Yeah.
And, like, eat a salad.
Exactly. I can jerk off at the airport.
Where? Handicap?
Yeah, Orange Julius, wherever they'll have me. But they should have little sleeping pods, too. What about a sleep pod?
Sleeping pods would be bad. That'd be tough because a lot of people would get that. Then they upsell those, you know, those ambassador lounges, so they would have to like less upsell those.
Right.
They give you 30 minutes of free internet, but then that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Boingo.
Oh, I don't know how to use that. I'm fucked up with the internet. I don't know how to get any internet on ever.
Really?
I don't want to be that guy that's always asking for the password. It's a whole thing. I'd rather just...
Password. You go online and then open up Safari and it takes you to Boingo. Wherever you try to go, ESPN, it goes, no, Boingo.
And so what happens when I get to Boingo?
Would you like internet? Yes. Would you like to pay for high-speed internet, get free 30 minutes, or pay for super high internet? And you just go, yeah, the free 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
Once you have a phone with data on it.
Once I get one pop-up, I go, never mind. It's too much. It's a whole thing. I don't like the pop-ups.
Yeah. Kill you.
I use data, and then I charge it to my parents. It's easy.
Yeah. Man, that's really a cool poster.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the frame is shit, but yeah, the poster's cool.
Parents are garbage.
My name is in here.
Where?
It's in there. Take my word for it.
In the train?
Yeah, it's on the side right here. I'm pointing at it, I think. That's a nice visual poster point out for the podcast listeners. It's a hell of an apartment. I feel like I'm not getting enough compliments on the apartment.
No, it's great, man. When did you move in here?
May 1st.
Oh, separate kitchen, too? You got that table extender to make it even more separate.
Yeah, and then look at all the brand new, look at all that cabinet space. I got soccer balls up there. We have so much space.
So much cabinets and drawers. I don't have drawers.
And they close automatically too. We're sitting over here right now, but if you just give it a half a...
If you leave it open, it just slowly close.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Oh.
Brand new fridge, the whole work. But it's also like everything
marble
in New York.
Marble countertops.
Oh yeah.
That sink faucet that comes out so you can do the spray.
Yeah, or yeah. You can masturbate in that thing if you're a woman.
They love those.
Yeah, they love the faucets. Water masturbation. That's a nice benefit for women.
Have you ever done that?
Not for myself.
I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man.
A hose on your dick?
Not a hose, but when I was younger, I'm trying to remember now whether it was one of those takeoff handles or just a straight, but I would sit like bath style. I would just let it come down on my cock. I rest my dick up, you know, on like the belly button.
Yeah.
Pointed at North Star. And then I just like let it like run up and down. Yeah, it must have been one of those takeoff ones because like I would like put like go up and down.
Wow. And down. Well, I'm getting horny here. I mean, yeah. But why water? Why not just fucking crank it out?
You know, mix it up, I guess.
I guess. That's like me with things in my ass. You know,
you gotta mix it.
Mix it up a little bit.
Do you go for that with Sarah?
No. Well, first of all, I'm not into it. Period. But even if I was, I don't think Sarah would be into. I guess she would. She's a very sweet girl. She does a lot.
Into it. I've heard so many people that are like, yeah, whatever, man. It's great. It's where your G spot is.
Well, I mean, a friend of mine. I'm not gonna name names here, but he just hooked up with a girl. He said she gave him. She's like, I want to give you the anal massage. What's it called?
Anal beads.
No, massage. What's in there that makes you come? Taint?
No.
Prostate.
Prostate, yeah.
She's like, I want to give you a prostate massage. And I guess he was like, all right. And she stuck her...
finger into his asshole.
Yeah, and massaged it up. He said it was pretty good.
I'm sure. My only problem is like, you ever get a blowjob and then it's taking too long?
Yes.
And then so for the first like 2 minutes, like, oh, it's great. And then after like minute six or seven, you start going, oh, fuck, how long are you... You're gonna start getting annoyed.
Totally. That's every
your mind off it.
Yeah. That's every blowjob. That's every aspect of my life. I feel that way. I feel that way right now in this podcast. Yeah. After the 6 minute, I'm like, what are we doing here? Blowjobs. I panic. I lose my mind, and I feel that way because I'm like, also the jaw hurts. I've tried to have my mouth open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think we talked about this before. After about 30 seconds, you're like, that hurts. And then the anticipation, and then I always feel guilty after a blowjob.
Oh, yeah. When it's fun, it's going, and it's finally like hitting that overdrive, you're like, okay, this is happening now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what a relief.
Right, right. It's totally. Like,
don't stop. You're good.
And then I feel bad. And then I did a joke about it before. Like, I've never not felt guilty after I blow a load. Some girls are into it. If they're into it, they're like, yeah, I love cum. Ah. But then that kind of spooks me out a little bit, too. And I'm like, all right, take it easy on the cum.
Yeah.
So I always feel bad if a girl's, they swallow and they're like, nah.
I like a nice, a pleasant, like, oh, yeah. Just
right.
Like enough, like, hell yes. Or just a something. Not like, yeah, get on my tits.
Right. But I have to say, if I was a girl, I think I would be taking loads all the time. I'd be a cum on the face girl.
Why?
Because I like a girl to sit on my face. I want a girl squirting in me. I like it all nasty. So I feel like if I was a girl or a gay,
yeah,
I'd be having people come everywhere.
I would like it on me once or twice, and then I'd be like, this is too much. It gets cold and runny. I would be like, just come inside me from now on. Just vagina or mouth.
Cold and runny. Boy. Yeah.
I've had it on me before. It's like, oh, whatever. And then it's like, as soon as it starts to like, it like loses its elasticity or something.
Well, I have that if I jerk off a bunch. It'll get like the third cum of the day if I'm in a hotel all day. And the third one just comes out. I could drink it and be hydrated.
Just like, looks like Lipton iced tea.
Yeah, it's beautiful. By the way, have you seen that white Mountain Dew? It looks exactly like cum. There's a product that is white Mountain Dew.
What is it, like electric ice?
I have no idea. But one time I used to hang out with this guy named Mark. I forget his name. He was like a door guy at the Comedy Connection. I think a drug dealer as well. And I would drive him home, and he was a member of the African-American community. So I'm just painting a picture here. And so I would drive him through. It was kind of like a tough neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I got to give you something for the ride, bro. And then I was like, he's like, what do you want? What do you drink? What kind of soda you like? And I was like, Mountain Dew, man. And he was like, great. And he pulled in like a 7-Eleven, and he'd go in there for like 15 minutes. I think he was like dealing drugs. Yeah. And so he'd come out, and he tossed me like a orange Mountain Dew. He's like, man, you got to try the new shit. And I was like, oh, this isn't Mountain Dew. He's like, that's the new shit. And I was like, well, this is a completely different. So I'm doing you like this huge favor. I'm committing a crime with you. And you got me the wrong color Mountain Dew.
Which is a new flavor. Really, it's a new flavor. It's like Cherry Coke versus Coke.
Yeah, it's not even the same thing. It's a completely different item. But anyways, Mark, if you're listening.
Fuck you.
Hope you're doing well. But that was really rude. But I didn't say anything because I was afraid he was going to shoot me or something.
That's my only problem with the prostate thing, too. It's like, even for a second, I'm like, you don't want to be in there.
Yeah, it feels a little weird. But I like sticking my fingers in girls' asses and my tongue and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So
I'll do that. Is there a time you'll do that and when you won't do it?
Yeah, I like to. I've talked about this before. I like to do some anal stuff if I was present for the shower. I want to be the one showering. I'm in there sticking a bar of soap in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let me do the showering.
Oh.
I'm a control freak. And then let me...
You wash her?
Yeah, that's hot to me. You get on your knees and you're washing off a girl's feet and ass cheeks and stuff. The tits, obviously, extra.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite Sarah Silverman joke she ever did.
That's great.
Yeah, you know the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell it for the people.
You tell. You have a better memory than me.
I can't remember it exactly, but...
If you take a shower with a guy...
Yeah. Your tits are your...
One thing for sure. You're going to have some clean tits.
Yeah, exactly. And then Paul Reiser used to do a joke similarly.
What?
Yeah. But it wasn't about showering with someone.
Well,
he's
dating a woman, and you take a shower with her.
Your pecs are going to be... But he just talked about how he washes out of proportion with what's necessary. He's like, my chest gets washed the most.
So much.
Because you just stand there, and it's like, it's there. And like your feet are what needs washing, but it's a whole effort to go down there.
It's once over on your toes.
Yeah, so you're just washing your nipples. Anyways... Yeah.
Was Reiser any good?
I think he was good. His one special I thought was pretty good. He had like a legendary bomb at the Cellar recently. Were you there for that? Everyone was talking about
really?
It.
Really?
Because I saw him the next night and it was okay, but like the staff, the manager, people were writing letters and mailing them to me, be like, watch out for Reiser. He's a piece of shit. Like it was like everybody was talking about it. I saw him the next night. I thought it was okay. There was a couple things there or whatever. But he was the first guy I saw do the joke about when you don't remember someone's name and you're like, big guy, this is champ, big guy. Mm-hmm. That was like a big bit of his, and he had a whole coffee thing. We're going out for coffee. We know we're going to order. We're having coffee. It was like a Jewy 80s.
Yeah, that 80s comedy is, it's weird, because a lot of it was like, no one's talked about this yet, but then it's like, now it's like, everyone's talked about all those regular life stuff.
Well, what's crazy now is now there's like a whole new generation of comics that didn't grow up in the 80s or early 90s, so there's a lot of things they don't even realize are hacky.
Yeah.
Because they've never seen... you know, Chappelle or someone talk yeah. about it, or whoever their person is, but they don't realize that A, in the Evening of the Improv, all of the comics did the bit you're doing.
Yeah.
But they don't even know. It's not even like they're hacks. They just don't even realize.
Rogan said somebody was like, someone was kind of like a knockoff or stole stuff from like a Dennis Leary type or something like that. Not Dennis Leary, somebody. And I was like, you're assuming they know all of that guy's work.
Right.
Which is like, I don't.
Exactly. I felt that way with the Schumer accusations, where someone had an album. It was like there was a bit from somebody's album. I'm like, do you really think that she listened to whoever it was, Ryan Singer's album or something from 10 years ago? Like, it just seems a little...
You could have seen him on stage, though. You could have come across him at a festival. It's more likely.
No, totally. Yeah, it's possible. But like, do you think it's more likely that... I don't even know if it was Ryan Singer. They're also thinking
the same shit.
But like, yeah, it's like it's more likely that that was... she was listening to this guy's album off of Rooftop from 06, then they just had the same thought.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know.
There's that vindictive stealing, too, where it's like, which is totally for sure not sure, where it's like, yeah, it's a good bit. I'm going to take that.
Right, right. That's a crazy mindset.
I think most people are not like that. I think only a few people, like a Mencia type, or like, I think very rarely are people like, I'm taking that shit.
Yeah, I think the people that do
Dane in his prime.
I think the people that do that are really either new, or they're like road hacks doing like VFWs, and they're like, I don't care. I need to make extra money so I can send my kid to soccer, and I'm going to do this fucking bit, and I don't give a shit.
Dude, I was on the road in Alaska, and this guy was like, yeah, I'm on the road here, so you can steal it. It's okay here. And I was like, what? Goes, yeah, you got to do what you can to survive.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, yeah, I'll probably just do my own material and do okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll... It was such a weird thought, and it was so like enabling. Like when Bobby Lee was taking like pills, and he was like, "Hey, have a pill," and I was like, "I don't want to." He's like, "Come on, just have one." And it was like he wanted me to do it with him.
Right, right.
So I think this is the same thing.
Yeah, alcoholism is like that. You want everyone to be drinking, so you're like, "I'm not a piece of shit. We're all like this."
Yeah.
Now I have that with food. Like I had like people over for the debate, and I was like, "Come on, let's all eat 5 yodels. Everybody has to do it." And then I'm like, I'm not a piece of shit. We're pieces of shit.
Yeah, it's all fine that way.
Yeah. I think that's like fucking kids, too. That's why all the priests are like, we all fuck kids.
You're like, you're not fucking a kid? Come on, man.
Yeah, and then he's like, shit, all right. I guess we fuck kids here.
Like, Leonard's in big. We're like, hey, slow down. You're going to make us all look bad. Right. When did you start thinking you were a piece of shit?
What do you mean?
You have such a negative self-image.
Well, I feel like I also have an ego as well. It's like I feel like I'm a piece of shit, but if someone else is like, you're a piece of shit, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm way better than you as a human being.
Was that a tell line?
No, I don't know. Did I just steal a joke just then?
No. A line in life where you know how he shits on his act all the time?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. And I think he's shitting on his act based on how much better he's gotten.
Right.
So then he's like, now at this new, like, way beyond A+ level.
Right.
This is only A- material.
Right.
So it's like, eh. But it's like, you know, 15 years ago, that would have been like, you would have been like killed for those jokes, man.
Right, right.
But then somebody, he was driving home and somebody was like, I think it might have been Sam Morrill, might have been somebody driving back from somewhere. And he was like, that joke sucked. Like, what do you mean, man? You're so good. He goes, well, I'm better than you guys.
Right. That was a funny moment with Louis. Did I tell you the Louis story? I was criticizing a Chris Rock joke to Louis, and then Louis texted
Chris Rock
to tell him. Yeah.
You were criticizing it?
Yeah.
What?
He quoted it. Yeah, I called it one of the worst bits ever perpetrated on the American people. And then Louis was like, wait, I just want to get that quote right. And I was like, oh, don't text him. He's like, no, it's too late. I'm doing that. And then we ended up getting like a debate about the joke. And then in the middle of the debate, I was like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm better than Chris Rock. And Louis was like, I know you're not. And I know you're not, which is fun. But I did have a moment with Louis being like, yeah, you're not. You're damn right you're not better than Chris Rock. There is a moment of your ego that's like, well, why is that guy better than me?
What's that supposed to
mean? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like literally having a momentary argument of like, I'm as good as that guy.
Oh, by the way, you're better than him now.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I appreciate. Well, I'm not going to say that. But
I mean, you've never put out those two specials you put out. But like, I don't know if any of us are capable of that. But like. In the last 10, 15 years, in the last 5 years, you're for sure a better comic than Chris Rock.
Well, I appreciate it.
You can tell Louis that he's wrong if he thinks otherwise.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrifying. So basically, I just told Chris Rock he had the shittiest bit ever to his face.
To him?
Yeah. And then I was like, well, can you at least write that I said he's a genius and a brilliant? And he's like, no, I'm not going to write that. So
which bit was it?
The bit was, and I've been talking about it for years, and like we had a pretty good debate about it, but. I've hated it since I was like 12 or 14, whatever. 14, I guess. He's doing the whole black people versus N-words bit and the whole...
what? That's... Yeah, go ahead.
No, that part is great. It's all great. And then there's one line in... I guess it's not even part of that. It's just about black people being, you know, having it worse than white people. And he has one line where he says, when you're white, the sky's the limit. When you're black, the limit's the sky. And the place goes, bah! They go crazy. And I remember being in eighth grade being like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Same exact thing.
That's the same exact thing. You're just reversing the word. It's like a trick bit.
Yeah, but the sky is, but it doesn't change the meaning.
The sky is the limit. The limit is the sky. It's the same sentence. You're arriving at the same...
The sky.
Yeah.
You can't go further than that.
But Louis made a pretty good point that like it does sound different the way you're saying it. The sky is the limit is like a known thing. And the limit is the sky is like, hey, this is as far as you can go. I guess. But...
I don't remember that joke, but it really is saying the exact same thing.
He's saying the exact same thing.
It's different if you reverse them and then it's like creates new meaning.
Right.
That doesn't really create new meaning.
Well, Louis said he's like, it was, his argument was like, well, it's like saying the glass is half full, the glass is half empty. And I was like, but it's not like saying that. It's like saying the glass is half full, half of the glass is full.
Yeah, that's closer.
That's a better analogy.
Yeah.
But then Chris wrote, and then Chris kind of almost kind of agreed. I was like, they're just laughing because the way he's saying it, like he just has them, which is also a great skill.
Yeah.
To be able to be like, he's got them so good that he can say literally nonsense, the same thing twice. And they're like, yeah, it is. But like,
what did he say?
He said, well, he's like, first of all, what it means is, you know, if I think he said, if you're a N-word, you ain't shit. And if you're white, blah, blah, blah. Which I'm like, I understand.
You just didn't impart that with your
I understand
your words.
The point, and I agree with, you know, societarily that's the way people are treated, obviously. But, anyways, but he was like, but yeah, he's like, it is part of a much larger chunk. He's like, it's a tag. And he said most tags don't make sense, which I thought was interesting.
The funny thing is, David Taylor pointed this out, and all those, the Chris Rock, the big one, the biggest laughs are not the lines people remember.
Right.
Like, he makes those points, and they're great, and then he surrounds him with like, stupid laughs.
Yeah.
And so you don't even notice, like, what you're remembering is not the fucking chuckles.
Right. I mean, so he said, he's like, that is, but he said part of the reason they're laughing is probably the way I'm saying it and delivering it. So he sort of was like,
that's cool. Yeah. I saw Marina once do something. You ever say something and go, I don't even know what that means? Like, you just say it off the cuff.
Yeah.
But she still, it was a stand-up New York. She still got a laugh.
Right.
Because I don't even know what that means. And it hit me like, no, what you said did not make sense. But you did get a laugh.
Right.
So like, crowds will just... At some level, just laugh. A cadence.
Yeah. Well, especially if you have them. If you're really cooking.
Right, exactly.
That's why.
Yeah, they already had her on her side.
That's why, like, the Cellar can be so fun because they're so hot that you're like, I can just say anything. I mean, not say anything.
Man, I went up last night and I was just like, I did some joke tag, same morals joke. And then I just went into like a long bit. I could tell they weren't sold on me yet. I didn't like get them. And then it was like, nah, I'm just going to keep going and you'll come around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did. It's so much fun. By the way, that same thing happened when I started shitting on Bill Hicks, like on message boards and stuff. And Rogan started like attacking. He was like, do you think you're better than Bill Hicks? But I didn't want to get into that argument. So I was just like, I think open micers are better than Bill Hicks. So like, take me out of this. That's not the argument.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I was like, I'm not saying, you know, Rock, I think, is really, I think Bring the Pain is like one of the best specials ever.
So good.
I just think there's one line in there that I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. But I also get there's a lot of things in comedy. If you broke down jokes,
there's
so many jokes, and it's not fun. I just felt like, I mean, I guess I just felt smart by being like, man, that's the same thing twice. Yeah. It's kind of like the Neil Armstrong, ironically, because sky's the limit, space, the Neil Armstrong quote. Which I guess supposedly the radio cut out, but that quote doesn't make sense.
What?
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But supposedly the radio cut out when he says a man, because that sentence only makes sense if you say one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, because in that context, man and mankind means the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you say...
I always just got he meant one small step for me, a dude. But yeah, you're right.
But I've heard people be like, no, no, the radio's crackly and there's a delay and that's why. So I'm like, but they didn't miss any other words.
Delayed in the middle of the quote?
Yeah, they only missed the word A.
Now I want to hear that.
So, but it is like, it is like a stutter. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I mean, that was the first time they were like broadcasting from the moon.
Yeah, which I don't understand. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think a lot of your fans probably are, so maybe they can help me out on this. But how did they have the camera set up to have him walking down already?
Oh, because that was faked. Somebody else went out. They went out there first. That part was fake. They say that. They're like, they went out there first. Oh, the other dude was the first one to walk on the moon, and then he like set it up.
And oh, really?
Armstrong came out afterwards. I think something like that.
Oh, because I've always...
Definitely they would like have covered that. The answer to the conspiracies.
Right. Because I've always wondered that, because I feel like it's real and we went to the moon. But then I'm like, yeah. Why is there a camera set up of him walking down?
I remember seeing an episode of Bam, whatever that show is.
Bam Margera?
You remember that show?
Yeah.
And so he was stuck on one of those forklifts. And it was like, they were up there, you know, and then it was like, hey, where's everybody? They're not getting us down. Hello? You know, one of those platforms. And yeah. Then it shows them far away. And I'm like, wait, you just had a close-up. Like, there was a camera up there.
Right.
And now
right.
There's a camera down there.
Right.
You guys are yelling like, hey, get me down. And there's cameramen. But like, it's fake. How else could you get that footage?
Yeah, that's all reality shows. That's why I can't watch any of them, because I know they're like, let's do another take of you meeting Bob or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all fake. But if the moon is real, do you believe we went to the moon and landed on the moon?
I think so.
I think so, too. I'd like to just take things as... But if that's real,
yeah,
I think we've talked about this. It's the most insane thing in the history of humanity.
That we did that.
That the first flight and flying to the moon are like 70 years apart. Like, we figured out how to get off the ground.
Jump up.
And then within like 70 or 80, I don't know when the first flight was exactly.
We haven't gone back to the moon.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
That's the only thing that makes me think, like, what? But I think no other country, too? China,
yeah.
USSR, they've also not been like, yeah, we're also going to go to the moon.
But the Russians did make it to the moon, right, at some point?
Did they?
I think. Did they not? Did they just quit on it? I thought because it was close for a while.
Yeah, it was close. But I could see, knowing what I know about government now, I could see them going, let's just say we went to the moon.
Right.
With this weird arms race, let's just tell the people we did it.
Yeah, it
turns
makes...
out we can't get there. Let's just tell everybody we got there.
It makes sense. I guess there's a movie with Jim Brown where they faked it and he's part of the film crew. He's one of the actors or something. Someone was telling me about it. It sounded great.
Jim Brown?
Jim Brown.
That's a separate movie.
Yeah. Well, wait, there's a movie about the crew that made the movie of Neil Armstrong.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And then like people find out and one of them wants to tell. It's kind of like Wag the Dog, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I'm talking about a movie I've never seen.
Let me ask you a question.
Please.
Let's get to this other thing I want to talk about.
All right,
when did
it.
You start fucking feeling so shitty about yourself?
Oh, yeah, we started talking about that, yeah. But I got uncomfortable. Well, I mean, like I said, I feel good about myself generally in some ways.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think I feel shitty about myself?
You're always saying stuff. It comes out, man. It comes out.
Well, I'm
hate
afraid.
Myself. That's a general one you say. I know it's like tongue in cheek, but it's also, which I don't know what that means, but like, but also like you say it a lot.
Well, I mean, that is just a thing that's funny to me that I say a bunch. I hate myself.
Yeah.
But there's things
but it's
that
also
I
like. Do you want me? There's that overall thought with you. It's like, am I imposing? Is this wrong?
Yeah, I do have that. I guess I'm insecure. I mean, we're all insecure, I suppose. Yeah. But I don't know. I wonder that myself. I try to, because I can't afford therapy, so I try to get to the bottom of it myself.
I was gonna ask you that, yeah.
But I've had girlfriends, most of my girlfriends, I've only had three, I guess, but like two and a half of them are not good at showing emotion. They're like very like father issued, not my current fiance, but like my two main girlfriends before that had like father issues and were like not good at showing affection or anything.
Yeah.
So I think I just dated two girls that I was like, I love you. I'm in love with you. I'll do anything for you. Yada yada. And then they're like, oh great, okay. And I never got that. And then my father's like that too. My father's never like gave me a big hug or been like, I'm really proud of you, that's amazing. Like my dad has never been like, boy, you went to Europe with Louis your idol, that guy you've been talking about since you were young, now you're friends with him on a private jet in Paris. Tell me about Paris, what was that like? So I think there's a whole thing there that's like deep-seated of like, nobody cares, that's not great.
I wonder what that's like too when you like raise a kid and just like have to like instill in him some or her some like how to do things. Their whole life is going to be set based on like, yeah, just like that. If you don't tell them like, great job, man.
Yeah,
you're
it's
awesome.
It's amazing. That's why I don't want to have a kid, because like you fuck up. First of all, they inherit your own weird shit.
Uh-huh.
Like if I had a kid, Sarah and I had a kid, they'd just automatically have depression and anxiety
because
just because of DNA and fucking. Yeah. So we just have the most insecure child in history.
Yeah.
And then somehow in overcompensating by being like, you're great, you're beautiful, you're a piece of shit, whatever, that would mess them up. And there's just little things that just mess up a human being somehow. But like my dad would always play with me and take me to baseball. I was just talking to my mother about this. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it because he doesn't talk to her. He's very like Irish Catholic Boston.
Oh, no.
No, they're together, but like he just doesn't show any emotion or affection. But I was asking, I'm like, when he took us, I'd go to the Red Sox game, two games a year, every year. I was like, was he looking forward to that? Was he at work being like, I get to take my son to the ball game? Or was he like, fuck, I got to go to the game. This sucks.
Yeah.
Parking. I have.
What'd your mom say?
Literally, she's like, I don't know. She's like, I don't know. She's like, I think he liked it. He did it. I think, I don't know. Like I take him to Pearl Jam shows now because he likes music. He had my sister when he was 18 and then me when he was 22. So like he's just been working for a living.
So he's never been underwhelmed.
Yeah, he's never
he's earned that credit upon her.
Oh God, you're insane. But so like he's never gone to like, you didn't get to see rock concerts. So I'm like, come to this. It's like I created a bucket list for my dad. I was like, come see this
plus
band.
Pearl Jam. He should have been into them when they came out.
Now, he was born in 57, so he was
really?
He was like 35 and a father for...
35-year-old if he wasn't a father, could have been into Pearl Jam when 10 came
Certainly,
out.
Certainly, yeah. There's people his age and older at the concert. Right. There's also people that are just Zeppelin guys that are like, oh, great, here's a 70s rock fucking band.
Right.
Like, you see a lot of guys in their 60s, 50s and 60s at these shows, and a lot of kids because they...
Heard it later.
They're great, and they just span generations, whatever. So I bring him to these shows, and I'm like, I think he likes it. Like, I can see him tap. He smokes weed.
Does he really?
Yeah.
What?
So he'll smoke some pot. He has beers. And I can see him kind of head nodding. His best friend is my uncle. I call him my uncle. He's not actually my uncle. But his, like, best friend is, like, a family, part of my family. And he's fine because he's like, this is great. Like, he's leaning over. He's like, this is fucking unreal. I love it. They're the same age. And, my dad doesn't do any of that. He doesn't go, that was unbelievable. So I just have to kind of go, I think he's enjoying that.
Yeah.
I think that's the seeds.
But the result is you going, maybe I'm okay.
I'm like, you guys hate me? Is this all right? I mean,
whenever I think of having a kid, I was like, I was telling somebody this once, maybe Rogan, I don't want to talk too much about him, but like he had a kid and I was like, yeah, but then you try to raise them, right? You try to be kind, to be present and stuff. But then like you're yelling at a sports game, like, this fucking, come on!
Yeah.
While your daughter's looking at a picture of Justin Bieber, and now she can never have a normal relationship.
Right, right. You know?
Because, like, she hears her father screaming at, like, things like that. Like, it's so much to fuck up.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot. When they're kids, they're so sensitive. Like, I think, when I was a kid, I did a joke about this as well, but when I was a kid, my family always hung out. It was like a big extended family. It was always 20 of us, 30 people together. But there was only ever fun when everyone was drinking. That's how since I was a child, that's when you have fun. Yeah, we have drink. Woo! Yeah!
I
was like, all right, so everything's business, and then you drink, and that's when it's fun. And so when I got older, I was like, well, I'll just drink all the time. I'll be fun all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like little things like that. Like, I think drinking, everyone in my family, and now everyone has kids in my family, my generation all has kids. And there's no bones about it or whatever term. Like, no one tries to hide it or be weird. Everyone's just drinking rum and doing shots and shotgunning beers in front of all these 5, 8, 10-year-olds their whole lives. So everyone in my family just comes up with everyone pounding booze and yelling and screaming and drinking. So it's like we're planting the seeds of these are all going to be, at least, if not alcoholics, heavy drinkers.
Right.
So there's all those things. You have to make these decisions.
They're like,
stuff.
Oh, look, everyone's having a good time when this is around.
Right. And I think also there's part of me that feels dumb or ignorant because my family also never, it sounds like I'm just shitting on my family. My family's like unbelievable and they'd all do anything for each other. So I think I have that as well. But like, there's no ever philosophical conversation, no political conversation ever in my family at any point. And if someone tries, someone will be like, all right, change the subject. What are we doing? Come on.
Really?
Enough of that.
So what do they talk about?
Basically a lot of family gossip and games. We play games. We'll play, you know, fucking asshole or a poker or whatever. It's all games and then sports. We watch, you know, New England sports as part of the fucking. But if I was like, who are we voting for? Like my mother,
especially. Can't talk about that shit anymore with anybody.
I know, but electric. It's like
it ruins conversations.
It's like we can't talk about any of it, and then like it's like, but I think I could sway you because you guys are nice people that care. So why don't you just hear this part of this? But it's any, or even not even politics, just philosophy. I was like, nah, this is too serious. What are we doing? So like, I grew up in a house where everyone was like, don't talk about that. That's stupid. So now I feel like I'm like, I'm probably dumb. I didn't.
Or am I bothering you by bringing it up?
Yeah. Can we have this conversation?
You think your alcoholism led to that too?
Maybe. I mean, there was a lot of, when I was drinking, I was like the, are you mad at me thing that I would do. And I mean, that was all real when I was drinking. I really was like, oh shit, does everybody
and you were like,
hate me? Because you have those moments where you're like, oh man, when you're drinking, you're like, I'm being funny. This is great. And then you have like that moment where it gets quiet. I'm like, wait, maybe the opposite is true. I had that with weed too.
Oh, for sure. Where it hits you like, oh wait. Like, am I ruining this party?
Yeah, it's possible that the exact opposite of what I was thinking is happening. I have that all the time still.
With
that's
weed?
Like a sickness. No, just, I mean, I don't smoke weed anymore, but just in general, I'm like, this is great. You're doing great and everybody loves you. And I'll just, for no reason, just be like, what if the complete opposite is happening? You're eating it and everyone's mad that you're here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a great thing about stand-up. At least you're like, I can tell. I'm hearing laughter or I'm not hearing laughter.
Yeah, that's what's so great about stand-up is you're in control completely. I'm saying all the things and the crowd is reacting the way I would like them to. And you're like, that's the best. That's why it's fucking.
This is harder podcast because you're like, is this good or are people gonna?
Yeah, because there's no audience. It's weird. It's always weird. But like Mark and I just did a live podcast and we were joking because it's weird because it's like all these things that you think are funny. Like, oh yeah, I'll just do this thing that we do. That'll get a laugh, and then they're just staring at us, and you're like, oh shit, maybe that's
do
never.
You always hate that. Should we stop doing that?
I'm like, oh shit, that didn't work.
Yeah. And that was your first live Tuesdays with Stories?
No, we've done a few, but that was the best. That was the first one where it was all fan. It was like 70 people. It was kind of packed. Oh, cool. And it's really picking up. I think a huge part because of your podcast. So, and I just did the Red Clay Comedy Festival in Atlanta. And there was two shows where most of the crowd was my podcast fans. There was one where it was like there was 8 people and 5 of them then came to see me because of the podcast. So I was like, this show is existing right now because of our
barely
podcast.
Existing. An 8-person show.
Yeah, this bad show.
Would have been canceled if not for...
This shitty show is happening because of our dumb podcast.
We did a tour up the coast once, me and Tripoli and Jason Rouse and Chris Neff, when we had no business doing it. We just did like bar shows all the way up the coast.
Yeah.
For a month to see if we could do it.
Yeah.
And so there's one show like outside Phoenix, and it was like 2 people showed up, and they were both fans. And it was like, well, we can't cancel. We have to.
Yeah, you just have to talk to these people.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling. And then afterwards, this is like the saddest thing that's ever happened to me. So we did the show at this place called The Hangar in Atlanta. Have you ever done that?
But I've heard of it.
It's like an old airport hangar or airplane hangar. Makes more sense. And then it was a late show. And then there was another late show happening, that 1 a.m. secret show. You ever do that show?
No.
It's called the 1 a.m. Secret Show. Oh, you got to do it sometime when you're down
in Atlanta.
Saturday nights at the 1 a.m. It's unbelievable.
For sure, I would do
Rosario
that.
Dawson was hanging out.
Really?
Boy, she's sexy. She was with Eric Andre.
Was she really?
Yeah. I don't know if they're dating or anything. I don't want to start a rumor here, but.
It's so weird if once you get some fame, other fame just fucking attaches itself to you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that sounds negative. It attaches. I think you just want to be friends with famous people because people don't understand what you're going through.
There's that too. Also, you can also like, you're also just a regular human. You're like, oh, that guy's so funny. Oh, guess what? I'm in this position. I can actually just
go hang out with that guy that I admire.
Dice said once him and Sylvester Stallone were across a room from each other in the height of Dice, and they found out they were both like, oh, I want to go talk to that guy.
Oh, wow.
And then eventually somebody met them, and they were both like, hey, nice to meet you, like to each other.
I found that with celebrities from hearing stories, like from whatever documentaries or reading articles or just hanging out with some big guys, that there's a whole thing in celebrities where like you have literally your people reach out to their people, and it'll be like
to be friends.
Yes, like Michael J. Fox would like to meet you, and they'd be like, oh, okay. Like Norm Macdonald was just on Stern talking about like how he'd get invited to Letterman's dinner. He's like, but Letterman didn't call me, his people called and said you're invited to this thing.
I call Norm and ask him to come.
Yeah.
And so they don't reach out straight to Norm.
It's weird.
Wow, weird.
And like we were just in Atlanta with Louis C.K. and he did Fox Theater, and they're shooting a movie down there. And Adam Driver and Daniel Craig came to the show. But I was talking to Louis' tour manager. She's like, yeah, they reached out and said they wanted to come to the show and meet Louis. So it was like, their people reach out to his people. It's a weird.
See if it's okay, too, so they don't get rejected that way?
Yeah, it's like an odd thing, but I think it's like kind of like that's how it works. It's like this is the system that's
in place. You do that with dating, too?
I don't know.
Do you think the big, like A-level celebrities go like, hey, so-and-so would like to take you out? Can you ask your client if you know?
I don't. It makes sense, I guess. I don't know.
Or otherwise, you have to see him on a movie set or something, and just be like, "Hey, can you like get me your number?"
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, they're like, "Just get me that person's number." That's like, I think there's a certain level where like that's like a manager's job is to like find fucking Michael J. Fox's number so Goldie Hawn can blow him or whatever.
Dude, I do that sometimes for my show, but it's not happening. I have to be like, Can somebody get me his number or email?
Yeah.
And I'll put like Baldinger on it.
Right.
Like he knows me enough. Like if it's Gaffigan, let's say, I'm like, I can find that from someone and just write like, hey, Jim.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird world.
That is a very world. Anyway, so yeah, you were saying though. So Rosario Dawson was out there at Hangar 5.
Oh, yeah. So I finished the show in Atlanta. So everyone had to leave during the show. And it was like me and my five fans,
yeah,
or comedy fans, whatever. It sounds weird saying my fans, like I'm fucking whatever. like I own like these people.
Go mites.
Yeah, like I'm just like
douchiest way to refer to anyone.
Welcome, my people. But anyway, so the show ended, and like all the comics took a van to the other show. So the show ended. It was just me and these five people, and we're like chatting. So now it's like I'm just kind of hanging with them, and then their like cabs or Ubers arrived, and they kind of were like, "So are you all right here?" Because the show's like, it's like in the woods, like an old broken down hangar in the trees, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. They're like, "Okay, so you're good." And so now, like these like people that were just watching me, like, "Oh, there's that guy we enjoy." Now they're like, "You all right, man?" Like, I have to just be like, "Yeah, I'm good." And then they leave, and Rebecca Trent, who's like co-runs the festival, she's like, "Hey, do you have a ride?" Or like, I was like, "No, I need someone to come get me." She's like, "All right, I'll be right there." So I'm just like, I took a photo. There's literally like a chair, and I'm just sitting in a chair in the woods, and it's like crickets. And it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm just sitting in the woods at 1:30 in the morning. I was just on stage performing for these people that are like, they brought me like a gift card, like, "We love the show so much." And then they get in Ubers, they're like, "All right, see ya, you weirdo." And I'm just left to sit here getting bit by mosquitoes like a maniac. I'm like, this is a real moment here.
I love those moments after like smoke sessions after a show or talk sessions, whatever, and then slowly people one by one start to be like, "All right, I'm getting out of here. And then you're either left with somebody who's like weird,
yeah,
or like a girl, or just like, right, just that everyone just like, "So this was fun, but I'm done now."
Yeah, it's a weird feeling. I don't like, also it's weird because you want to like meet and greet and be like a nice guy, accessible, but like after like a half hour you're like,
I'm gonna get out of here.
Now I guess we're just friends, we're just buddies hanging out.
Oh, right.
And then you feel weird because like I have no stories, they've heard them all on the podcast, and it's like this is just odd. Yeah,
do you think this stuff gets in the way of your like friendships?
How so? What do you mean?
I mean like if I was gonna call Big J, I'm really at ease with Big J.
Yeah,
you know how sometimes you're at ease with someone, sometimes you're not.
Yeah,
I can just, if I'm going to Rite Aid, I'd be like, "Hey, Jay, are you home? Can I come over?"
Yeah.
And there's no like thought of like, am I imposing at all?
Right.
But like when you have that sort of like, I don't know, more negative self-image, then it's like you're less likely to, that's what I mean by it. You're less likely to like reach out and like.
Yeah, I have that. Well, there's some friends that I'm like really close with, like a couple people like that, where like my buddy Derek, who's like my closest friend, he's a non-comic.
Derek Rose?
Derek Rose, yeah, he plays basketball.
Yeah,
and I'll call him up and be like, "Hey, man, no." But I would call my friend Derek, and I would just be like, "Hey, man, you want to hang?" And he'd be like, "This is like years ago. We were like lived in the same town." He'd be like, "Nah, I don't feel like it." And I'm like, "All right, cool."
Yeah, and nobody
and then hang out, and it was like whatever. But if I called you and was like, "Hey, man, you want to get lunch?" And you're like, "No," I'd be like, "Ah, jeez." But yeah, I don't know.
So would that stop? Okay, so I'm saying, would that stop you from like calling? Or just like, "I'm in your neighborhood, come out."
Yeah, there's some people, but like, I feel like comics nowadays, that it's hard to get people to do things spur of the moment.
It is, unless you're right there though. If you're like, yeah, it is sometimes hard. But if you're like, hey, I'm 10 minutes away from you. Come outside.
Right. But I think even people like that are like, no, I've already decided what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm projecting because I'm like that sometimes.
I think you're right, actually.
But I think most comedians are like that. Like Dan Soder is a guy, he's a good buddy, but like you have to have a plan. I think it's hard to get Soder to be like, so a bunch of times I've been like, I guess one time, two times he's done it, but like I'm at the diner across the street from your house. Like come over and he's like, I mean, because people are in for the night. I have this thing where I'm like,
I know, but it's almost like too in New York, you're like, oh, I can give you 30 minutes.
Right.
You don't have to commit to a whole evening. It's like, yeah, I'll come over and say hi.
Well, there should be more hang. I always say.
There should be more hang. You're the king of the fucking hang charge.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's my theory. If this was a festival, I always say that. If it was a festival, when you're at a comedy festival, everyone's like, what are we doing tomorrow? Let's all go here. Let's do this. But in the city, we all live together.
And no one gets together.
And no one goes, let's all go.
We should go to Hoboken. We should go to Randall's Island, Roosevelt Island, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It's getting too late now.
We should do things. But it's nice in the fall. Nice little.
It is nice. Brisk.
Yeah, we'll do things. We got to do things.
Because otherwise, what's the point?
That's the thing, though. I think I've always felt that way because it's like comedy's hard, but we have a lot of time off. Like, what's the point of pursuing comedy if you're not going to have fun and hang out and live some sort of alternative lifestyle?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you might as well just, like, most people don't hang out all the time because they have work.
Yeah, we have days off. Let's just have fun.
Yeah, people are working from like 8 to 5, and then they have kids or whatever.
Whenever I go with girls, they're like, sorry, it's like I can't really go out at night. I have spots like every night. Like,
right.
Sorry. But then it's like, but then why am I not doing super social stuff all day, every day?
Right. I mean, you have to get work done also, I guess. But
to be honest, now that I think about it, I'm the same way as you, that I was just saying you were, where I'm like, I wouldn't want to be like, hey, come outside. I'm right here. Like, let's chill.
Right.
I'm in your neighborhood. Come on out. I feel weird unless the people I already very much know.
It's interesting, though, because that's why podcasts are so great. Because right now we're working.
Yeah.
You know, we're entertaining people, I hope.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, I definitely have that sinking in right now that I'm like, people hate this. They're going to tweet me and be like, what are you doing?
It comes in, right?
Well, that's also a part of the whole thing, too, is like now with Twitter, people will just reach out and be like, hey, you suck. I hope you die, you fucking faggot. And I'm like, what? And so I have that thing, like everything I say, I'm like, geez, I'm going to get shit for this. That's probably dumb. I'm probably saying something idiotic right now. Or, you know, the PC thing is scary.
PC thing I'm less concerned with, more than like, fuck you. You have no worth.
Right.
PC thing is like, oh, you just don't agree with what I'm my topics. That's okay.
Right. And eventually there's blowback on everything. That's like people, I mean, I guess with podcasts, they can just choose not to listen. But after a while, they're like, still with this? You're still talking? Uh-huh. Like, I was talking to Adrian last night, Adrian Appalucci, who I love. And sometimes you watch enough comedy, I'm literally, it could be the best comedian on stage. I'm just thinking, shut up. Shut up. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Who cares? And it could be like Brian Regan. I'm just like, stop talking.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. Like, I'm like, here's 2 hours of me with Artie. I mean, Ari. What's your name? Ari, right?
Yeah.
Here's 2 hours with Ari. Here's Mark and I. Here's me and Bobby. And people are just like, shut up, you fucking douche. You're not even smart. You didn't go to any college. You're a fucking idiot. And, I don't know. I feel that way sometimes. That's like a great Ray Romano quote. He's like, my whole career, I've just been waiting for the comedy police to show up and be like, we're on to you.
Dude, that's why my theory is why everybody gets nervous when they're club owners or SD types, bookers.
Yeah.
Because there's no training to do comedy. So we assume that they must have some sort of knowledge of it and they're going to tell we're frauds.
Right.
That I'm untrained. I don't know what I'm doing. I just figured this out for myself.
Right. You know? People are going to go, wait a minute. That's not good. This guy's not good at all.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm always afraid of.
How do you get over that shit? Do you ever see the people that are super confident that are like, oh, yeah, I'm great?
Yeah, and then when you do get over it, you become a bad comedian.
Yeah, those people end up getting worse.
Yeah, so it's a weird...
I feel like the best combination is being supremely confident right before you go on stage and then super unconfident every other moment of the day.
Yeah, I think that's a good formula. You want to definitely...
How are those people? Even not even like celebrities who like believe the yes men's. I mean, like even just like guys at our level who are just like, just think they're great.
Yeah, that it's somehow, I think it's parenting. Their dads took them to the game and they're like, I really enjoyed going to that game, son. And they rough up their hair or something, blow like, them.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm worth going to a game with.
Yeah.
People should want to go with me.
I don't know, but it's weird. But then also I have the ego, like all comedians have an ego. It's the same. I tried to do a joke about this before where like when I'm dating a girl, I mean, I'm in a good relationship now, but like I would date a girl and be like, what is she dating me? Like, this is crazy. Like, I'm not attractive enough.
Yeah.
I got a fucking weird dick and I'm a fucking idiot and I'm skinny. and I'm a fucking idiot. Why would she date me? I pick my nose and put it on the couch. I'm a horrible human being. And then, not this couch, it's new. And then, then she would break.
Put on your couch like an animal. Just eat your boogers, man.
You don't eat your boogers, dude.
Of course I do.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
It's better than putting it on a couch. You ruin your couch.
I'd rather you put it on my eyelid than fucking eat it.
Joe, eat a booger right now.
Eating a booger. I can't do that.
Come on, man.
Oh, geez. A bunch of people are texting me here.
Would you eat one of my boogers?
No. Boogers are grosser than anything to me.
No way.
Boogers are, yeah. Hold on, let me get a good one. I don't want to see a booger. I will throw up on my new rug. Boogers are grosser than, like...
What? I jizz?
Oh, way grosser than that.
No.
Boogers are grosser.
I would never put it in my mouth.
Oh, you're altogether crazy. No, get out of here. Oh, my God. That is the worst thing that's ever happened in this house. And I've stuck a ukulele in my asshole. Mandolin, whatever that is.
They're salty.
That's fucking disgusting.
Earwax is the grossest.
Yeah, you shouldn't put any of those things in your mouth.
You don't put them on a couch. I mean, obviously the first move is wipe it off in a sink.
I'll do sock. You do sock ever?
Wipe your booger off on a sock?
Yeah.
No.
Because your sock, you're going to take it off, you're going to put it in the hamper, it gets washed.
But then you're going to macerate into it.
No, I don't do that either. But anyways, So a girl, I would be like, I hate this. I don't know why this girl's with me. This is insane. And then as soon as she broke up with me, I'd be like, what are you, nuts? You're never going to get a better guy than me.
Right.
I fucking do this. I'm funny. I'm hilarious. I'm
too
fun.
Late,
so it's weird. So like, you have that self-hating thing, but also the ego. Like, I'm never going to be as good as these guys. But someone was like, you're not as good as that guy. I'd be like, what are you, nuts? Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely have that thing where I feel like a shitty comic or hang or whatever, and then if someone else was criticizing, I'd be like, I'll fucking eat your lunch. What are you kidding?
Yeah.
I
did that as an open mic. I remember saying like, oh, so and so's not funny, and they're like, oh really, you're better? I'm like, oh no, I'm not funny either.
Right.
Like,
right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm just learning this.
Yeah, that's a thing too. Mark and I talk about that sometimes. So like, you'll be like, well, this is a completely different subject, I guess, but similar when you're like, whenever you're in a club and you're like, well, fucking Richard Pryor didn't have to do this. And you're like, oh, you're comparing yourself to Richard Pryor? And you're like, yes, I am. we're both comedians.
Yeah.
Working on the road. Yes, I'm comparing myself to Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm a genius or brilliant.
Saying he's one of the best. He didn't have to go through this.
Right.
Why should I have to go through this thing?
Yeah, we're both fucking men living life with the same occupation.
Yeah. We write jokes. Yes, absolutely.
That's like being like, if you're a fire friend, you're like, oh, you're comparing yourself to a guy that died in 9/11? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were responding to a fiery building. And
take the same trucks.
I am too.
Color and everything.
Less TV and less, you know, Muslims. That should be banned from America, folks. Trump.
Did you, by the way, Joe, this story, I guess when this is out, will be out right now on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. When does it come out?
This is not having a playlist. I know the first two are Stanhope and Sal. I think you might be the one after that.
Wow, that's insane.
You're the. I don't know. I haven't looked enough at the schedule this year.
I feel like you're about to say first loser. You're like, you're the first. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, because we do one every week on the topic of whatever the week's topic is for the TV version.
What's my topic?
I think either scumbags or holidays. I forgot now.
I don't want to be a scumbag.
I forgot now. The title is the best, though.
I'm definitely a scumbag in the story.
Spaghetti for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's the title, which I like. You're a scumbag. You were so worried you're going to come off as guys, this is not me. Everyone knows that for those stories. For those, this is not happening stories. Everyone knows this is not your normal everyday life.
No, I know. But here's the thing. Sometimes this, I worry about this with podcasts too, because I try to, and I do, I treat people real nice in person. I'm like, hey, nice to see you. Nice to meet you. Because when you're with a human, it's a human interaction. So you're like pleasant and you enjoy them. But then sometimes behind closed doors, you know, you're doing drugs and you're like, let me see if I can come in this girl's eye and get her to leave my house. And then this person's like, what? That's who you are? And I'm like, well, that's who I am to this
fucking one moment.
Person in this moment. Yeah. But we're having fun. But yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like in every moment you got to be like, and by the way, it sucks. I didn't want to say it. Like, and by the way, this is not my normal. This is just, I did this one time ever. You don't have to say that every time.
Well, this one, I mean, that incident, that was 10 years ago and I was an alcoholic and doing drugs. Yeah. So you are really a different human being. That's a different human being than I am.
Yeah. People judge each other too when they're in their 20s. I'm like, come on, you're still holding that against them.
Right.
He was 24. Stop.
Yeah. I agree. form of judgment.
By the way, you ever start to like not be hungry, then you eat, and then you're like, oh, no, I'm way hungrier if I have like two fries?
Yeah. I think that's because your body thinks there's something, there's some sort of chemical bullshit. God,
I want way more boogers now.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I do get like that, too, with... I get like that, too, with if I text a girl, especially if I like them,
yeah,
and then they don't text back, I'm like, oh, am I bothering you? Do you get like that?
Yeah, I mean, I never texted girl. Oh, maybe I guess I did. I don't know what I thought.
Does that happen with Sarah when you were dating Sarah?
What do you mean? Texting and...
I don't know. We're like, oh, maybe later we'll go to the movie or something like that. Or just like a joke. And then when they don't write back, like, oh, so I'm sorry if it wasn't funny. Or if you don't want to go to a movie, that's fine too. If we can do something else.
Yeah, I totally have that with people. If people don't respond, I'm like, shit, was that not funny? And they're like, no, I'm at the barber shop. I'm taking a bath.
I looked at it, I laughed, and then I put it away.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, you're always insecure or whatever, I guess. Well, I am anyways. But yeah, who wants to be the secure? That's also the thing. I think that's also a big part of it, because we spend so much time talking about comics, or not comic, but just people in general, behind their back, where you're like, God, what about when that guy was talking about this? He wouldn't shut up. I hated that guy. And everyone's like, yeah, we all hate that guy. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Because it hits you.
That's so much of your life is sitting around being like, what about that fucking piece of shit? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be that guy. I'm like, am I being that guy?
Yeah.
So it's naturally going, it's like if you start dating a girl who has a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
she's cheating on her boyfriend with you, and then you start dating, you're always going to be worried that that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And so that happens with comics, because you're sitting around at the diner just being like, so-and-so is a real fucking hack douche. So naturally, I'm like, oh, they must be doing that with me.
Somebody is. Absolutely. Yeah. Because also, you even do that with like, you, when it's not even like that hack douche, but you're like, well, like we talked about somebody recently.
Yeah.
And it was like, we both liked the guy.
Right.
But then you can still pick out his like weaknesses.
Right, of course.
So like, even if they like us, they're still hitting our weaknesses.
Yeah. It's also hard, too, because it's so much more enjoyable and funnier to talk about negative things than great things. Like, we could sit here for 2 hours and be like, Sam Morril's the funniest guy of all time.
Oh, isn't he so funny? Oh, it's so great. But then you're like, it's boring.
It's much easier to be like, what about when Sam was trying to fucking write roast jokes? He kept bouncing roast jokes off us all day. Piece of shit. But yeah, I have that...
Nobody took a roast more seriously than Sam Morril.
He took it real serious. It was intense.
I was like, Jesus, Sam.
It was very
calm down.
It was very intense. But it's just not good conversation to sit and be like, dude, fucking so and so is the funniest guy, best guy. He helped a lady cross the street.
Yeah.
You'd rather be like, how about that guy? He's fucked some fat pig, that piece of shit or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They must be talking about you too. You ever have somebody like leave a conversation and go, have fun talking about me when I'm gone?
Yeah.
And at some point we're like, oh, we probably weren't going to, but man, that's going through your head, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, that happens a lot too. But there's a lot of those people are unaware. There's people that are unaware that they're like, I'm the worst and I'm making this shitty and I don't want to be that guy. So I'd rather be hyper aware, which then becomes annoying.
Hyper aware to not be that guy.
And then it feels like you're almost in control of what's annoying.
What do you mean?
You leave, and then people are like, boy, he kept asking if we were mad. What a fucking annoying guy. To be like, are we mad at him? But at least I'm like, all right, that's what they're talking about.
Covered. Yeah, something. I never want to. You ever go this way? You don't want to. As I'm talking to you now, I realize I'm insecure too. I was just going to pick
up. Of course.
Yours, but then I was like, you ever do the thing where you're like, you just don't want to overstay your welcome, so you like leave a party way too early because you feel like, oh, they're going to start.
Oh, yeah.
Like air on the other side of like, I don't want to bother you.
I just had that happen.
Could I open for you? Anything like that where it's like, I'm not going to bug you about this.
I just had that happen with Louis, because Louis had people over on Labor Day or whatever day it was.
Yeah.
Labor Day. Yeah, Labor Day. And he had people over. And
over to his castle in the clouds?
What's that?
Over to his castle in the clouds?
Yeah, he had his people call my people and I went over there. But we went over, Sarah and I went over, and like there was like some celebrities there and a bunch of comics. So I just like sat in the back corner. I was like, I don't want to be the guy who's like trying to chat with Louis or meet fucking whoever was there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I ended up leaving, and I was like, hey, Louis, we'll see you. Thanks for having us. This is amazing. And he's like, yeah, sorry, I didn't get to talk at all. And then I left, and I was like, I ended up texting him like, hey, man, I'm sorry I didn't talk. Then I became insecure. I'm like, this guy had me at his house and made me dinner, and I just never talked to him. And then I'm like, well, he's a comedian. What if he's insecure? He's like, oh, maybe Joe List fucking hates me. He just sat in the back of my...
Yeah, exactly.
So now I'm freaking out about that. But like, you're trying to be the guy, the not annoying guy. And instead I was the rude guy who comes to someone's house, eats their food, and just fucking...
It's weird with celebrities too. Because if Louis wasn't a celebrity and it was just like Soder inviting you over to his house.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a bunch of people, some you knew, some you didn't know, but they're all at our level.
Right.
You wouldn't feel weird just getting into a conversation with anybody.
I would feel weird if I never talked to Soder once. I would feel equally as weird if I went home.
The whole party. Yeah, I'm saying you would have just talked to him.
Right, right.
You wouldn't feel weird to go up to him.
Oh, yeah, I would just come and hang out with him because it's his party.
Oh, what are you guys doing? And then maybe be like, oh, is this a weird private conversation?
Right.
Like when you get that sense of like, oh, I interrupted something.
Yeah.
But that's rare.
Right.
Celebrity's weird, man.
It is weird. It's a different
I'll usually just pull away.
Yeah, you feel... I'm always self-conscious being that guy that's like, hey, man, so Ferris Bueller, huh? This guy.
Because you see those girls or those guys, too, I guess, who like intentionally go up to celebrities.
Of course.
And you're like, ugh, gross. I so don't want to be that.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy. I had a moment a few weeks ago when Pearl Jam was in town. I went to the Pearl Jam show, and then afterwards there was a rumor that they were going to go hang out at Molly Wee Pub because Brooks Whelan knows those guys from SNL.
Over here they were playing?
Yeah, they played at the Garden.
Is that Molly? Is that the one where people used to go after Whiplash?
Yeah.
Okay.
When Whiplash was fun. Still a fun show, but it used to be a big hang. But anyways.
Yeah.
But there was like a rumor. They were like, Jeremy texted me. He was like, hey, I think they're going to go to Molly Wee. And ended up like their crew or whatever went over there. So there's a bunch of Pearl Jam people there, but not the band.
Yeah.
But I was hanging out at the bar and I'm like, I'm talking to Sarah, my fiance. And she's like, tell me a story. And I'm like looking over her head. Like, every time the door opens, I'm like, is that Eddie? Is that? And then I'm like, we got to go. I got to go home. I don't want to live my life like this.
Looking, yeah.
I'm ignoring my wife to see if fucking Stone Gossard is walking in. And I was like, I got to go home. And then there's also the thing with celebrities you admire too, where I'm like, I already have a relationship with this band.
Yeah.
They play. I go to the show. I enjoy it. I leave. What am I going to, hey, Eddie.
Dude, you should never meet people you're fans of.
Yeah.
They will only disappoint you.
Well, except with comedians, I think. I've become friends with some.
Yeah, maybe. Comedians are normal people.
Normal-ish.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But like,
they're not like hoity-toity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Louis, and now I've become friends with him. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Besides my wife.
Louis's a normal schlub. That's a thing. You know? No offense, Louis. Look at his picture looking at me like, come on.
I know, I have a framed photo of him next to us.
If you're just going, what? I'm a schlub. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just a normal fucking, you know, if it wasn't a celebrity, he'd be just the same. It would be nothing on him.
Good point. So, yeah.
By the way, I met Zach once, Galifianakis.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like he was just leaving open mics when I was coming into him.
Yeah.
And there was some like book show that he was at in the alley down 3rd Street Promenade. And splat. And I remember saying like, he's just a dick. He never comes up to me, never says hi. And then I realized like, oh, I've never introduced myself either.
Right.
And then honestly, I was like, oh, hey, man, my name's Ari. He has never not said hi, Ari, when he's seen me after that.
Wow. Yeah, that happens with comics where people are like, oh, New York's so clicky or LA is so clicky. And it's like
they just have their friends.
Yeah, and comedians are shy and uncomfortable.
Super shy.
If I'm hanging out with a bunch of people and there's a guy over there, I'm like, is that guy, what, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does he want to hang out with us? Like, it's not like I'm like, fuck that bro over there. It's just like, oh, no, I'm hanging out with these people. I'm comfortable with these people.
People used to say the comedy's were misogynist. All the female comics from LA thought comedy's were misogynist.
Yeah.
Not now because it's in a different like era now. But like, and it was like, oh, no, we're just not welcoming.
Right.
To anyone.
Right.
We're very like, oh, we know our friends. We don't know anyone else. And so like, you're used to being welcomed because you're pretty or something.
Right.
We don't do that with you. We also don't do that with the guys that come in here.
Right.
So like, it's just an unwelcoming place. It's not misogyny.
Yeah, I remember doing a show when I still lived in Boston and I was like about to move here and I came. We were doing this like some contest or bullshit, but I remember it was like Julian McCullough and Kurt Metzger and DeRosa were all on the show. And so like the three kind of Boston people were hanging out because we drove down together and they were all hanging out, but they didn't really come over or anything. And I remember this girl I came down with, she was like, don't become like them. I hate this clicky shit. Don't ever turn into them. And I remember, I didn't know those guys, but I remember being like, I think they're friends. I think there's three friends on the same show.
Yeah.
And so they're catching up and chatting. I don't think they're doing, I feel no ill will. I don't feel like they're doing anything negative.
How you been? Let's go over here and talk.
Yeah. They're not just like, hi, you drove down? welcome, be part of our inside conversation. We know all the same people for 10 years.
People play so much on people. They play so much like intent that's not there.
Right. It's just so strange to me. It's like people do that, like, oh, there's the cool guy. And I'm like, well, I'm not cool. I'm just hanging out with these people that have, they've got on TV.
Right.
We were friends before that. Right. It's just like, I guess people were like, they want to like project like, well, look at the cool crew over there with your TV credits. I'm like, well,
I will tell you, sometimes I'm with someone I knew before they got famous. And I knew, and so do you, know a lot of people that weren't famous and then became famous.
Right.
Brenda Zisi, Rogan. Rogan's like barely famous, but like, there's other guys too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Amy.
Amy, yeah, sure, you know her.
I mean, we knew her before and she's the biggest.
I didn't really know her that well.
I don't know her well.
I knew her enough to be like, hey,
yeah, I would see her around. Yeah. Like, hey,
I still, and we still view them as their non-celebrity selves. It's almost like weird when you see TJ Miller and then people are like, oh my God, can I have an autograph? You're like, what? Oh yeah, you're massive now.
Yeah, forgot the weirdest thing I've ever seen was TJ Miller signing autographs in the Grove. It was like a crowd.
Really?
And I was like, what? Well, also, I don't watch a lot of things, so I have never seen these people. Like Aziz, I've never seen a thing that he's in. I never watched Parks and Rec or anything. So people go bananas, and I'm like, I don't even...
Yeah.
I've never seen this guy in the thing that people know him for.
Yeah.
Which makes it weird.
But when you're with one of those people, do you then notice other people trying to talk to them? Were you just like, oh, hey, like if you got some sitcom and within 3 years you were like a household name, it'd be like, hey, Joe, what's up? But then someone else would be like, oh, Joe, can I sit here with you guys?
Right,
and,
right.
Like, ignore me to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen that and it's like, whoa, I wonder if the celebrity sees through that.
Right. Yeah. That's a weird feeling that I don't want to be part of.
Yeah.
I hope I just never become successful at any point.
I don't want to be celebrity. That's the problem.
No, celebrity seems like a nightmare. Rich seems great, though.
Who's Rich?
Being Rich. Rich Voss. Rich, he seems like a great guy. I've never met him. But now, being wealthy seems amazing.
Like
but
a top-level screenwriter, that'd probably be good.
Yeah, or like I always, people talk like Regan and Gaffigan, who are like celebrity to the point where they can probably live lives, but...
Yeah, Regan especially. Wealthy. But they still get their work done.
Yeah.
Is there any way to get over this insecurity shit?
I mean, I've gotten a lot better, like 100 times better through like, you know, well, first of all, just age and wisdom and a healthy relationship, some amount of monetary success. And then like, I feel like I have respect from my peers and then like just...
You're one of the best comics in New York.
Oh, well, thank you. And Buddhism, meditation, stuff like that. So like, it's definitely... I'm getting better and progressing, but I don't know. At some point, I'd like to be, but I feel like you have the thing where you're like, I don't care. Like you were talking about people being angry at you, and you're like, oh, they're gnats. I don't even care. Like you're inspiring in that way. You don't even give a shit when people hate you, which a lot of people do.
I will say that gnats is a decent comparison because I do care a little when they're around, and it's like, ugh, get away from me.
Right.
And then you get away, and then you just stop thinking about them.
Right, right. That's a good point.
You should view them more as gnats than I always do, but like generally, it's like, anyway.
But as long as people are getting like blown up and shamed on like social media and stuff, there's always going to be some level of insecurity because I'm always like, ah, I don't want that to happen to me. Did I say that? Should I not have said that? Does this person think this? Because you're always just waiting for someone to write a blog and be like, this guy.
Quit Googling yourself.
I never Google myself, but I'm aware that it happens to people and I don't want to be part of one of those storms.
It's like, whatever. In Edinburgh this year, I didn't read this article, but I was told about it, that there was an article about American comics that were going there and doing this American style of comedy, how bullshit it was. And they named me. They named Bill Burr. DeRosa got mad because I did not name him, even though he was there. And they were like, it's not supposed to be this fucking joke, joke, joke. You're supposed to have a point. And my thing was like, no, I'm just going to the UK to show them what American style comedy is like.
Right.
There is no fucking theme. There's no fucking growth. There's no 10 minutes of fucking not funny in there. And then they were like, these American comics are coming. And they go, someone should have told Chris Gethard because his stuff is all cry and like whatever.
Oh, wow.
But like, he was like, what's that supposed to mean? They're trying to turn us against each other. And I'm like, that's just some guy's opinion. It's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
People are laughing. Who cares what some other dude thinks?
Yeah, that's what most of these like Twitter social media blowups are too. It's just one relatively small group of people.
Yeah.
So.
And they just write something. Do you think being with Sarah has helped your confidence, being with like a loving woman?
I think so. It helps me not have to worry about that aspect. That was a huge part of my life that I would worry Yeah. It's like, how am I going to get laid? Do girls hate me? Am I a piece of shit? And my teeth? It's all about my teeth, my herpes.
Yeah.
And now having a girl that's like, no, no, I love your face and your mouth, and I don't care about your diseases. I mean, she care. We make an effort to not pass it along, but like...
How are you going
to
do that, by the way?
What's that?
Sorry, keep going.
Do what?
How are you going to do that? What are you going to... What are you going to... How do people with herpes deal with long-term relationships?
Oh, well, I mean... We wore condoms forever.
Yeah, but that's not going to be forever, right?
Yeah, no, we stopped doing that. And then if I have like a... I don't get outbreaks too often anymore because I've just had it for a long time. I try to take care of myself. And then I just... Now I have some money. So I bought... I went to Europe. I can just buy Valtrex at the store, which is amazing and crazy that you can't do it here.
You can't do it here?
No, you need a prescription. So you got to like go to like somewhere and be like, I have herpes. And then one place even was like, you have to have like an outbreak because there's no test. So I'm like, I have to give myself an outbreak.
So I can
You can't take my word for
just
that.
Just so
I
can have some at home in case I get...
Yeah. Why not just take my word for it? But anyways. So yeah, I don't have sex if I have like an outbreak or whatever. And I take Valtrex occasionally to try to not pass it along or whatever. And then a lot of it's just kind of like, yeah, I hope...
Has she resigned herself to like, it might happen?
I think so, yeah. She definitely does not want to have herpes because... We both have the thing of like, there's going to be an amount of resentment there. Yeah. When you get in a fight, you're like, I got herpes for you, you piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. You're going to lose that argument every time it comes up.
Yeah. So it was kind of a thing where she was like, I don't want to have a resentment. I don't want to get herpes. But I'm also like, but when we had this conversation way back when, I'm like, but I'm not going to get married and continue to have sex with I'm not going to be. It's a lot to ask to risk getting herpes. But I'm like, I can't be 55 years old and putting a pink condom on my dick. Like it's like.
I wonder if Magic Johnson wears a condom still.
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, he probably still doesn't fuck anymore. He's probably real old.
Yeah, they're old now. And
but like back then, I mean, like, how long was he like? All right, I'll forever wear a condom.
Or right.
Just find someone else with HIV.
Right. Yeah, it's hard with herpes, but it's like it's a tough thing to ask someone. Be like, hey, can you be okay with getting herpes?
Yeah.
But it's also like, but we're in love, and I'm loyal to you, and we're gonna be together. Like we're promising each other's life. Together, so
if she did get it, it'd be better than the way that you got it was just some girl just gave it to you without letting you know.
Yeah,
it's like, well, you're part of this too.
Yeah, totally. And I think when you're drinking and messy, the worst part about herpes is like worrying about telling people and passing it along. So if you're in a monogamous relationship, it's not as bad, I guess.
Yeah. So, but okay. So thanks. But so I was like, how do you? You must just be like, let's just risk it. We have to eventually.
Yeah. But
I would, if I was with a girl who had herpes and was like committed to where it's like, I've been with you for years. I don't want to be with anybody else. I'd be like, yeah, I would want to take the condom off and be like, so when's the last time I had an outbreak?
Yeah. Well, it's actually pretty hard to send it to like, there's like eight, if you're taking like, if you're just not having outbreaks, there's like 8 days a year or something like that where there's like, I forget all the terms because it's been a year since I read it, but it's like, non-symptomatic, asymptomatic shedding or whatever.
And then so you can give it to someone?
Yeah. So there's like, if you're together, like I'm on the road a lot anyway, so like there's 365 days a year. We're fucking 160 of those days.
Yeah.
And there's 8 days out of the year that it's like a non-symptomatic
you'll
shedding.
You'll give it to her within 5 years. If it's 8 days that it will transmit.
No, that's pretty low chances. If we're having sex 40% of the days and only 1% of the days are you shedding. I mean, that's a long shot, I think. I don't know. But like there's people, all kinds of articles of people like, I've been married 10 years, I've never given it or whatever. And I think the longer you have it, the less
outbreaky it is.
Shitty and outbreaky it is. Machete. So I don't know. But so far, I mean, we've been fucking for years and
yeah. Okay, so back to it. So, but you think when you're comfortable with a woman like that, that it helps your like self-confidence?
Definitely. I think it just takes away the worry of like this person. I got this person to love me and have sex with me and be nice to me. So it definitely feels good. It helps my confidence. It helps to know there's like, I know how and where I'm getting laid. I know there's someone like home waiting for me that loves me pretty unconditionally, I think.
Yeah.
I think that definitely helps the confidence. Yeah, that's like a huge part of insecurity because when I was single most of my life and this goes back to insecurity. Like most girls I've ever had sex with, I've had sex with maybe, I think I lost count, like 38 or 39 girls in that area.
Yeah.
And only, I think, four of them were like repeat. Was it like more than once?
Whoa.
Everyone else, I just assumed. What? And I probably could have. Like, looking back, there's so many girls I think wanted to have sex with me or would have had sex with me. I just didn't realize. I was looking through pictures recently from like the old Boston days. And there's like this beautiful girl sitting on my lap and like kissing me on the face. And she's got like her arms around me. And I just never hooked up with her. And I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, this girl clearly wants to fuck you. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then like, even like girls I hooked up with, they'd be like, hey, long time no see. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Just because I feel like it's almost like a bee that stings and then dies. I feel like, all right, I fucked her. There's no way she's ever going to want to talk to me or have sex with me again. I never had that like, oh, this is my midnight booty call or like, this is my girl really? In this city. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I just never had it because I'm a fucking idiot. But, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, man, I could have had way more sex. I mean, I did all right for myself.
I've seen those moments, too, where you look back like, fuck.
Completely.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I didn't know then what I know now.
It's crazy. So
you didn't have to work it that hard. She was like turning, going as far as she didn't want to say, hey, I want to have sex with you.
Right.
She's doing everything else to be like, come on, man, meet me a quarter of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stupid, but it's definitely nice to not have to worry about that, because that's definitely a thing of like when you strike out or whatever, yeah. Or like that don't get like laid, yeah. And then like that streak goes, like it's been three months and a day, and you start to question everything. That definitely, that's hard.
I mean, though, in terms of like just having someone care about you, what it does your overall, like I had a woman once, my last girlfriend, I guess, one time she was just like, I was like, hey, you want to meet me here? She's like, yes, my king. She just called me that. It was like, oh, wow. That felt wonderful.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah, I don't know. I think it does. I guess it does. We've been together for so long now. Or not so long.
How long have you been together?
5 years.
Oh, it's, damn.
It's long to me.
Fuck.
But my previous long relationship was like 19 months or something like that. So.
5 years?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
But it's nice. I tell you, what helps relationships, I think, is being on the road and going.
Me too. I think so, too.
You're away for 3 days. You're back for 4 days. You're gone for 5 days. It definitely helps.
Do you know the Jewish thing with periods and sex?
No, I know they're cheap. That was my third Jew joke. I feel like I got to knock it off here. I'm going to get
the other ones?
Well, at one point, I said they're animals, and then you didn't react, which was weird.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah just landed, so she'll be home shortly. But
okay, we'll wrap up.
That's all right if you're here. And then I made another Jew joke. I can't remember what it was.
What was I saying, though?
I don't know. Something about Jews and periods.
So, yeah, they have this theory.
Did you ever have that happen, by the way? I want to do a bit about this. When someone's telling a story, and then someone gets distracted, and they're like, what was I saying? And nobody can answer. Everyone's like, wait on... So nobody was listening to my story.
Nobody was like, wait, finish that off.
We were just distracted for 10 seconds. And the person's like, what was I saying? And everyone's like, no, nothing. We got nothing.
I was like 3/4 of the way through something.
That will make you insecure. Yeah. But anyway, so you're talking about Jews and
periods.
So
when they're on their periods, when a girl, first day of blood, you can't have sex with her. Your wife, you know.
Wait. So these are like real religious Jews.
Oh, yeah.
If they're in the period.
Orthodox, not even crazy religious, just Orthodox.
Right.
Once they start having the period, you can't have sex with her. Until the period's done. And then they have 7 clean days with not even drops. So what does period go for? 3-4 days?
Sometimes longer, yeah.
5 days?
5 days,
bleeding.
Maybe.
Okay, so 5 days of bleeding. Then 7 clean days. Then you got to go to a ritual bath, a mikveh, which they're everywhere. You can find one pretty easy in big cities anyway. And then you can have sex. So at the end of that time, you take 12 days off, 12 to 14 days off. And now you can fuck. And that is your most fertile time.
Wow.
And they're sending guys out fucking horned up. You can't even sleep in the same bed. You have to separate beds.
Yeah, these religions are kooky.
Kooky.
No good.
But the same thing with like when you go on the road, you come back after 4 days, you're like, get in the fucking, you know, get in the bedroom.
Yeah, I'll have that where I'm like, let's fuck for and then catch up so we can have a nice, engaging conversation. Because like, I love talking to you. I want to hear all about your day. I sincerely want to hear everything. But I'm like, I'm just looking at your kneecaps and being like, ah, God, or whatever. I'm like, I gotta come.
Yeah.
And I think some girls are like, what are you talking about? All you care? And I was like, no, I care everything. I want to know. I want to know about your aunt's fucking shopping, whatever bullshit you want to tell me about.
Yeah.
But I gotta come on your tits.
It's also like, not all I care about is not parking, but if I pick up from the airport, we got to get to the car.
Yeah.
And leave the parking. That's the first thing.
Great point. That's a bit.
No, it's not one of my bits. I cannot That's imagine doing
a bit for
like
somebody.
That.
If you're listening, take that bit from
Whoever
Ari.
Does that style of comedy?
take that off his hands.
Yeah. Well, what else should we talk about for insecurity? Maybe we're wrapped up. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I'm going to immediately be insecure about everything I said.
What was your self-worth as a child?
I don't know. Well, that's the thing with my dad. I didn't realize that he wasn't so quiet or whatever. But I was the youngest because I had my sister was older. And then like I had my uncle was like 4 years older than me and my cousin. So they were kind of around. And then I kind of got picked on. I felt like I was like different and kind of nerdy. And they would pick on me a little bit. I got bullied a little bit, I guess. So like
your siblings or your friends?
My siblings and then some people in school, I guess, or whatever. I always felt pretty insecure. I always felt very middle of the road, whatever, to some degree, I guess. So maybe that.
I remember going to my mom once. She was like in her bed or something, like sitting watching TV or something. And I went there and I was like, Mom, nobody likes me.
Oh, jeez.
And she was like, that's not true. She goes, I was like, no. She was like, you have those friends? And I was like, no, but like nobody likes me. And she was like, remember going like, Ari, everyone thinks that at some stage. It was like second or fourth grade, something like that.
Oh, that's really
and she
sweet.
Was like, yeah, that's a normal thing to go through. But that's just not true.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think I ever had that. Like I had some really good friends that I think liked me. And my mother was always, my mother kind of babied me. So she was really, that probably has some effect on my life or being a little bitch, but I was babied by mother and picked up, and then like I think the other kids in my family like realized that I was like sort of spoiled by my mother to the point that she could spoil me. I mean, they had no money, but so maybe there was that resentment or weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't gotten to the bottom of all of it yet. But ultimately, I have, you know, I'm confident as a comedian, a guy, I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, I just wrote somebody about something, about drugs, about mushrooms.
Yeah.
Taking like a small amount of mushrooms. And they were like, and then I was like, well, you know, what am I talking? You know more about this than I do. And they were like, be confident.
Right.
I liked your comparison. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have confidence in some things, but definitely like talking, you know, politics or something. Like there's like only a few topics where I feel really smart.
Politics is one?
No, politics is not one.
Yeah. Right, stand up. Talk about stand up. You're like,
stand up.
Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, stand up. Maybe movies.
Oh, yeah, you like movies.
Pearl Jam, I do. I love a movie. Well, I hate most movies. Most of them stink.
Most of them stink. How good was Whiplash, though?
Whiplash was good.
You didn't care for it?
It was good. I liked it. Overrated, I thought it was good. Saying. I thought Hell or High Water, have you seen that? That just came out.
No, it's a new Western?
Yeah, it's like a, I mean, it takes place in West Texas, it's not really a Western. It's like a modern day bank robber movie. Oh. That was fucking great, I thought.
I finally saw The Lobster.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of that?
So weird.
Really weird.
Unsettling.
I thought it would have been better if it was just shorter. If it was like a, I thought it was like a short. It was like a short film, like a 45 minute thing. Right. It was like, I get it, and we kind of just beat it, and it got really weird, but there was funny parts and neat.
Yeah, and it was so strange and like affected on purpose, you know, intentionally affected.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I am not that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a cool theory. I liked it enough. It was neat and inventive.
Yeah.
It was just like,
different.
I don't know, this is a 2-hour movie, you know.
It was that long?
I think it was
Scotland with DeRosa.
Might have been 1:40, I don't know. But I thought it was good. I liked it. But
Yeah. Yeah, some things you can be confident about, other things. You ever get real confident about something you have no right to be confident about?
I don't know if I've had that. That doesn't feel like something that I've experienced.
I've done. And then it's like, afterwards you're like, oh, I didn't even know what I was saying. I was just like guessing.
Right. Yeah, I've definitely talked about things. I mean, I just recently went on a rant about my podcast. But I try to say in my podcast that I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about. We're fucking idiots, so don't take it too serious. But I was talking about World War II. And like, just America didn't get involved until they were attacked, and we're supposed to be like this great heroic nation, these heroes. But it's like, it wasn't.
We got
Nazis were crushing Europe, and we were just kind of like,
yeah.
Until we got bombed. But then a bunch of people tweeted me like, "You're a fucking idiot. I love you, but you don't know what you're talking about. That's not even accurate. You're an asshole." So I feel like I'm right, but I'm like, well, I'm sure somebody puts more thought into this.
I hate when they write you and go like, "You're an idiot. A lot of what you said was wrong." And you're like, "Can you?" be any more specific in a 3-hour podcast to a lot of what you're saying was wrong? Just tell me what I was wrong about, and now I'll know better.
I felt that way about this, because I'm like, well, I mean, factually, the Nazis had invaded Poland and the Netherlands and all these countries, and they're bombing with England, and we weren't in the war. So, like, I don't understand that part. I know we were supplying England with stuff, but, like,
I think they justify it too as, like, well, we had to get in there because of the Holocaust, but I think Americans didn't know about the Holocaust until we got there.
That's the other thing I was talking about, that I was like, I don't understand, because, like, you know, we make jokes, we make a lot of irreverent jokes, and we're joking around, but then, like, I watch, like, a documentary or go to, like, the Holocaust Museum, and I'm like, this is, I feel horrible that I've ever made any joke about anything in my life. This is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. The shoes. You see all the shoes. You're like, God damn.
It's a whole thing. And I'm like, I don't understand why there wasn't a fucking mission to be like, what? We got to go to Auschwitz. Forget all the front lines, the battle lines. We got to get these people out of here. But then people have told me or tweeted at me like, no, they didn't know. They didn't know about it. And then there's other theories that people, that's like, yeah, that's rabid anti-Semitism, that even America and England and all these people were like, we don't give a shit.
I think some of, I mean, when there's suffering now, it's a little bit like, that's aren't American suffering. So, like, well,
yeah,
you know, they should stop. Let's send the UN. Let's send the Red Cross.
Right.
But
yeah,
right. Not like, let's stop this right now.
Right. Rogan and Stanhope talk about that. It's like, there's like this weird team aspect. They're not on our team, but it's like, well,
strange.
We're humans.
Yeah. There's a baby who's like lost an arm.
Right.
In Yemen. And we're like, yeah, well, you know.
Right.
Well, no, what? And people go, well, her father wasn't a terrorist. I'm like, wait, what?
But he's a brown baby.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about anything, but it's just, so I guess we just didn't know, but like, if there was,
they show them walking in there and be like, wait, oh my God, like, have you guys seen this?
Yeah. I'm like, if there were people with guns and tanks that were aware that they were starving Jews and throwing them in ovens and shooting children in the head, and they didn't go over there and like pick a fight, those people are horrible people.
Asshole.
But, yeah, I hope that doesn't happen again. I love America. Don't get me wrong. We're great. But I just
not as great as some people say in some moments.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about it. So maybe we were...
You're an idiot.
...doing something.
Yeah.
But it just seems weird that this guy was like, blah, 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 and just invading countries. And we were like, well, we won't worry about it.
I don't know. That's something they should deal with. Maybe these countries aren't done being formed.
But I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know either.
But I love being here. I love the country. I love the comedy, and I don't want to leave anywhere else.
Yeah, any of the negative shit, just so you know, it's the way I'm seeing it now is like, it's just a byproduct of being more popular than ever.
Right.
So whatever Schumer gets, whatever anybody gets, it's just like, all these things are like, the negative comes up at the same percentage it did when we had 10 fans. You know, it's 9-1 versus
right.
Fucking, you know, 9,000-1,000.
That's a good point.
It's just like, you're more popular than ever, and then people worry about like all these extra negative people.
But yeah,
like, dude, fucking forget about it.
It's always just weird though and frustrating because you have Twitter, you have access, so somebody can essentially text me by tweeting at me. It's in my phone, but like it's always weird. Just like, yeah, don't listen to the show. What are you talking about? People are like, you're dumb and you're not funny and you're a piece of shit and you're a hack. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So stop. Don't tell me. Go tell your friends. You fucking weirdos. I don't tweet at fucking. Yeah. You know.
Somebody just pointed out, like, dude, your intro is way too long. You did way too long an intro, like, a few weeks ago or something like that. And I was like, oh, well, just so you know, a lot of people liked it, and I enjoy putting them out like that. So I'm going to suggest that you find other podcasts.
Right.
Because if you're not enjoying this, the stuff that I put out as content, then that's okay. Like, I'm not the guy for you.
Right. We had one guy, we had Tim Dillon on our podcast, and he was talking about sucking dicks and fucking whatever the hell that animal does with his personal life, and it was great and it was hilarious. And then some guy was like, hey, your fans don't want to hear you talk, some fat guy talk about getting fucked in the ass. And I was like, well, you mean you don't want to hear it? I was like,
you.
And we got 20 other emails being like, this guy's hilarious, this is amazing, it was great. And it was like, yeah, so this episode is not for you. We're not going to have a fat gay guy on every week. But also, it's like, Mark and I mean, it's not gay, but we're talking about coming everywhere and whatever the fuck, and you're eating boogers in your podcast. Like, there's a lot worse stuff happening.
People are like, don't eat. That's what they hate. Don't eat on the podcast. I hate when you chew into the mic. I'm like, you're just making me want to do it a little more.
Right.
I try not to, but if I'm hungry and I'm sitting there eating and a high and there's candy, I'm going to do it, man.
Yeah, it's weird because you don't want to just change something for one person. Then you give them this power to fucking
people hate this.
Change your life. Yeah, that's enough. I mean, just that one. We're not even wearing cans, and I hated that.
I used to get so high sometimes at the Comedy Store. I remember being on stage going, and then I told the guy, and I remember Nazisa going, drink some water.
Right. Yeah, somebody said that with my Letterman. They were like, you got to drink more water. Like, three different people were like, you got to drink water. You kept making a smacking noise. You're like, yeah, I wasn't aware. So I just murdered for 5 minutes. My whole life built to this moment.
You do all this preparation, work material. Yeah. Out.
I apologize that I was a little, you heard a sound, that sound twice, you fucking animal.
That's all you're centering on.
We've talked about this before, too. This is my biggest pet peeve, is every fucking YouTube video of a TV set, I think we might have talked about this maybe even on your podcast, but someone writes, there's always a comment, seemed a little nervous. Yeah, yeah, he's nervous. He's on TV. Yeah. I'm nervous. I'm fucking, I've pursued a dream. It's coming true for your entertainment. And you're like, it's a little nervous. Yeah, what the fuck? Well, you're not nervous because you're a fucking loser. You're not doing anything in your life to make you nervous, you fucking douche.
Yeah, be nervous once in a while.
Yeah, the guy's nervous. He's nervous.
Outside your box.
He's on TV. He's fucking telling jokes on television. It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the material? Yeah. My favorite all-time quote, and I think I've talked about this before, too. This is the problem with these podcasts. People are like, we've heard this dumb story, but my favorite comment ever, Mike Racine's first Conan, is fucking great. He's doing another one. It's great also.
Oh, that last one, that clip of him.
Oh, Scott Chaplin. It's amazing.
My God.
It's classic.
A good rewrite.
Yeah. But his first one, he had a great set, and some guy commented, this guy's great. Cool, calm, collected, hilarious. If I did comedy, I'd be just like this guy.
If I did comedy.
If I was to try comedy, I would do it at the highest level. I'd be beautiful out there.
Everyone talks about that Racine set.
Oh, it's great. It's a great
set.
First
Conan?
Yeah.
Everybody talks about it.
Yeah. And he has a second one, too. Yeah, the first one's pretty killer. The second one's good. Really
he's wearing
good.
That fucking Guido jacket. Where you could tell he like, I have some money now. I'm gonna buy a fucking douchebag leather jacket.
Yeah, it's silly, but
I like Racine. I like how these comics have come together, and they're like, some of them are like, oh, I'm just supposed to be a Guido Italian that you should avoid at a bar, but I'm now among you because I do really good comedy.
Yeah, Racine's an interesting guy. He's always
he wears like track suits.
Yeah,
what the fuck, man.
He's a real Jersey Italian. Yeah. He's that guy, but he's fucking hilarious. His Conan is like amazing. I lost a Creek Award to Best Late Night. My Letterman was up against his Conan, and I accepted that loss.
I lost a Creek Award that I still do not accept.
Uh-oh.
Best Jew to Mark Normand.
Oh well, that's kitschy. It's like to use a Jewish term.
I know, but the first time I was like, oh, I might actually win something, and then it was like Norman's like, oh.
Oh, that's sweet.
I got a Lifetime Achievement Award from them.
Oh, that's good.
That.
Yeah.
That can't be a part of any, like, whatever. Anyway, Joe List.
Yes.
I want to wrap up before your wife gets here. You're
she's about to be here.
While I'm trying to get out of the door.
I'm going to try to make love to her, you know.
You had a podcast with Mark Normer called Tuesdays with Stories.
Tuesdays with Stories, yeah. It's.
And I've been on, what episode was I on?
On twice. I don't know what episode.
No, just once.
No, twice. We did the one in Montreal with Turner.
Oh, yeah.
We did a one-on-one to plug this show last season. You'll have to come on again to plug this season.
Plug this season of what?
Your TV show.
Oh, yeah, sure. Good idea.
But, yeah,
Thursday night at 11:59 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were on me still, but I'm on that thing.
Yeah, and then Joe List's story is out right now. You can see the full version of it.
Yeah.
YouTube, This Is Not Happening playlist. So you're on that. You're on podcasts, Tuesday's Stories. You got your own album out.
Yeah, Are You Mad At Me on iTunes.
Are You Mad At Me?
Yeah, that's my album, and I'm really proud of it.
Perfect title for this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'll title the podcast. No, because then I forget.
Then they'll just find that and buy this dumb thing and not my album.
Yeah. Oh, I'll name it something else.
But yeah, the album's called Are You Mad At Me, and I feel like it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
I did an album before that.
What'd you think of that?
I think it stinks.
Attell told you he liked that one, didn't he?
He said there was some good stuff on there, which I agree. There's some good bits on there, but there's
a lot.
That means
he likes you for someone who didn't respect.
Yeah.
He's like, of someone who I don't think is great, that was pretty good, man.
Yeah. I hope that's not the truth. I just found a review on there that was like, this is not comedy. I saw this guy in Last Comic Standing. They shouldn't be able to call this comedy. First he wrote, I'm at a loss for words. Then he wrote like a six sentence.
Thing, oh, you found them.
Which was great. Yeah. Yeah, he found those words. But yeah, but anyways, that album. But get that album too if you want, for God's sakes. You can see it. You can listen to a mediocre album, mediocre to bad, and then a good one.
Yeah. Are you mad at me?
Yeah.
Joe List on iTunes. And wherever else, probably Spotify.
I guess I don't know how anything works. And then Tuesdays with Stories every Tuesday.
Yeah, you got to see this guy when he goes on stage live. Where are you going? Are you going to be anywhere? This will be out in the next couple of weeks. Where month are we announced?
Oh, Sunnyvale. I'm doing Rooster Teeth Feathers November 10th through the 13th.
Oh, hell yeah!
I love that club. I love that room. I love Heather. So I'm looking forward to being there. Sarah's coming along. You can see Sarah as well.
She's featuring.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. November 10th through the 13th, Rooster Teeth Feathers, Sunnyvale, California.
The biggest cock block I ever saw on two. You're completely not a cheater, but like two loved ones like working together on the road is Lana Turner and Ralphie. When Lana got off, Ralphie would hand her the baby, and then she would take it off stage and go. And it was like, all right, nobody making a move now.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Rooster Teeth Feathers, that'd be good. Where else in November?
I'm doing this Louis tour, a bunch of dates with Louis. Nice. So I have a lot of stuff's on hold, so I can do the Louis stuff.
God, that's got to be fun.
And then I don't know where else. You know, the Cellar all the time, but the podcast is the main thing. Listen to that, and then I'll have up to date dates on that. But check out our podcast. It's comedy. We do a lot of. It's a funny.
It's a story. It's one of the best ones out there.
Yeah, it's a comedy podcast. We're not getting to know anybody.
Oh yeah, you guys have major fans too.
Yeah, it's pretty great. We have a lot because of you.
No, not because of me.
Well,
you guys,
because we're great, but they listen because of you.
Yeah, I'm glad some people can find you through me, but yeah, all right. And I'll be in Austin taping my special November 2nd through the 5th. This should be out before then. So come to my special.
Yes.
And then, all right, buddy. Oh, yeah, Joe List online.
I'm not good. Oh, on Twitter. Twitter and Instagram, at Joe List Comedy. Instagram I love. That's my main
love
jam.
Love Instagram.
I just love it.
Good pictures of, if you like National Geographic, you'll enjoy Joe List's pictures because he takes pictures of nature.
Yeah,
fun
and
stuff
tits.
Has come across.
Lots of African tits.
What? Do you really?
No, that's what I think of when I think of National Geographic.
Oh, right.
That's what we mastered.
Oh, no, but their Instagram has like this weird, like crazy nature stuff.
Yeah, I try to take. You know what Jacques Cousteau said, and I'll close with this, folks. Whenever one man has the opportunity to lead an extraordinary life, he has no right to keep it to himself. And for me, that's what Instagram is all about.
A man lies in his bed in a room with no door. He waits, hoping for a presence, something, anything to enter. After spending half his life searching, he still felt as blank as the ceiling at which he stared. He is alive, but feels absolutely nothing. So is he? When he was 6, he believed that the moon overhead followed him. By 9, he had deciphered the illusion, trading magic for fact. No trade backs. So this is what it's like to be an adult. If he only knew now, what he knew then.
That is the episode. You guys, don't forget to set your DVRs if you have those for Comedy Central, 11:59 p.m. Thursday nights, 11 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Mountain, blah, 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 Western, 9 or 12. I think it depends what you have, what your cable monopoly is. I think next week I'll do a rundown of what I feel about the election. Will that be enough time? Yeah, I will. That'll be mid-November, mid-October. Yeah, that's what I'll do next week. Remind me, you guys. Don't forget to look at Joe List's story right now. Let's get it to 100,000 views, everybody. If you like these stories that come out on YouTube, and they're going to come out every Tuesday. If you like them, send them to your friends. Not only tell the comedian, reach out on Twitter and let them know that you liked it. The Twitter addresses should be at the bottom in the more section of the video. But send these to your friends. Tweet at them, Facebook them, email them to people. Say, check this out. This was really funny. Get it going. Let's get Joe List 100,000 downloads before the end of the year. Let's really push it hard. It's a really great story. If you like it. If you didn't like it, fucking so be it. But he killed. All right. And by the way, you guys, if you want to know what the music is for the episodes, go to arithegreat.com. Not only can you find my tour dates there, there's only two of them left, Bell House, Brooklyn, October 18th, Austin, Texas, for Childhood and Adulthood, November 2nd through the 5th. But you can also find all the music that's in there, some extra details from the comedian. There'll be this story that Joe List told. Last week, you can see Sal Volcano's story. Did a great job, Sal, too. Go there. I'm going to end with one of my favorite songs. I guess I've been wanting to use it. Betty Blowtorch. They were this band in L.A. I mean, we're all talking about self-loathing. This band in L.A., I got into them after the lead singer died. I heard they're touring again, but how do you tour without the lead singer? And they were great. She worked on this at the shop in Melrose. And there was this up-and-coming band. They had a lot of cool songs. They had one album that I had to really, really search for to get it. Online, on torrents, obviously. And then I went and bought some a bumper sticker that I'm looking at right now on my fridge. Are You Man Enough? That was the name of the album. Yeah, I'm remembering that. Are You Man Enough? I got a ruler, too. Are You Man Enough Ruler? It's supposed to be to rule you, to measure your dick. Oh, Betty Blowtorch. Too soon. Too soon. So anyway, here's a song by Betty Blowtorch about self-loathing. I think it's called I'm Ugly. Thanks, Joe List. Guys, don't forget to tune into to Joe List's podcast with the others of Mark Norman, Tuesdays with Stories. Every Tuesday it's available. So subscribe to that. Those guys are both hilarious. Mark Norman is taping his special in New York, actually, a week after me. So if you want to go to that, if you're in New York, I guess marknorman.com. Hold on. It's marknormancomedy.com. Mark Norman with a D. He's taping a special in New York the week after I am. I guess that's the Thursday of UFC 205. And fucking Mickey Gall thinks he can beat me with one hand tied behind his back and one leg tied behind his back in a just jiu-jitsu match. I mean, maybe he can. What he says he's going to beat me with. You guys got to listen to Punch Drunk Sports. It's a really good podcast. It's fun. He says he's going to beat me with a one-arm guillotine, which, yeah, that's a good game plan. He'll probably do that. But, I'll be defending it. I mean, it'll be way more embarrassing for me to lose if he has not even one hand tied behind his back, a hand and a leg. I mean, I know he's strong and he's fucking explosive. Whatever. Anyway. By the way, do you guys know on Punch Drunk Sports, I have a bet with Sam Tripoli. If the Raiders make the playoffs, I have to get my asshole bleached live on the air. And if they don't make the playoffs, he has to. But they're 4-1. The fucking Chargers giving it away. All right, I'm sidetracking. You guys, if you're self-loathing too, I don't know. I've got no messages. I said everything in the podcast. What was I going to say? So Mark Norman's taping a special. Go to his Twitter. Find out the details. Joe DeRosa in Los Angeles is taping a special at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. If you want to go see that, go see that. And that's it. That's it. Let's finish, right? Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget to tell people if you like this podcast, spread the word. Fucking chickens over the head. I got to write all these things down and compile them for this next hour. Maybe it'll be ready in time for Edinburgh. If not, I'll just do This Not Happening There. You guys, This Is Not Happening is a great show. See if you can find the theme in all the openings. I'll just tell you. I die in everyone. Tom's outdid himself yet again. Ladies and gentlemen, for Joe List, Skeptic Tank, episode 280. I Hate Myself. With Joe List, I don't know how to close these ever. Over and out. Enjoy Betty Blowtorch. Bye. I was walking home from school one day when I saw Danny standing there. I tried to show him my dirty underwear. He showed me his, but nothing could be more. They said, "You're ugly. What the fuck he do to you? You're ugly. And I bet your mom is too. You're ugly, man. What's with that dude? You're ugly because you're ugly."
Indians. And every day after school, I'd go pick him up at his class.